Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 205. My name is Christopher Keel, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And blessing us with his presence once again, Mr. Travis Baum.
So, yeah, since we're here, I've been playing Skyrim. So far, I think it's a pretty good game.
Downboy. Oh. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Today, we are talking about publishers and developers that that could release a game, and you'd go buy it regardless of what anybody else said about it. And then before that, we're going to talk about Skyrim and do some news. And then afterwards, we'll do new releases.
Probably more Skyrim.
And a new question of the week and maybe some more Skyrim. Because fucking dragons. So before that, Jeff, what's up, man?
Not much, man. I had a good last week, I guess. I had a total nerd weekend. It was awesome. Friday, we had off, of course, because I work for a bank. So we got Friday off Remembrance Day. And, of course, that was Skyrim's release. So, played that for, I think it was a total of like almost 11 hours.
Damn.
Which sets my new record for single player session in like one day.
I think I've just now crossed 11 hours in that game.
That's nice, dude. That's a man sesh right there.
Dude, it was. Like, it wasn't straight though. It was, I think I did 4.5 hours during the day. And then, Tony got home from work and it was we were celebrating our anniversary, which is like earlier that week. So we went out for like a nice steak dinner and stuff. Then came home and she was all tired and stuff. So then I was like, I played for like another 6.5 or something like that. It was crazy. It was nuts. And I was like, at some point, I was like, wow, this is easily my longest single player session in like one day. That, not 24 hours. I'm sure I played more than 24 hours, but, yeah, that was good. Then the next day, I actually went to a buddy's place and a couple of us got together and played Magic the Gathering.
Oh, wow. Like 7 hours. Wow. Yeah, Jeff, you were just in the middle of telling us the greatest story ever, and you just dropped it.
No, man. It was
maybe
epic.
To you. It's not Jeff's fault you don't like fun.
Yeah.
Because, dude, I've never played like the game physically since like high school. And even in high school, I never played it during high school. Because it was one of those like closet things I did. Like I liked playing Magic with my friends outside of school, but wouldn't really admit it in high school. Whatever, I was shallow then. Whatever. But anyway, so I was the next 15 years, I would meet like different friends and stuff, and whatever now is our collective like big group of friends that like hang out all the time. We got to figure out that a lot of people like kind of like playing Magic, and we'd always be like, okay, we need to get together and actually play a game of Magic. We never did for years and years. Then like the Xbox Live version came out, and I'd play that with like my Xbox Live friends, people on like online or whatever, but never like people in person. And then finally, like a month ago, we were out at a bar for something, and I was like, you know what, we need to do this. We need to do this like soon. So we put down a date. We're like, the Saturday and the 12th, we're doing it. So four of us all went over to this one guy's house. We all went out. First of all, we got beer and liquor. And
there you go.
We went to the comic shop, and we bought cards. And then, one guy who was hosting it, he already had like a crap load of cards, but, which we probably didn't need to buy our own. We could have just used his, but I'm the kind of person that like, I want my own stuff when I'm playing something. So like, I like Magic. I know it's going to be an investment. I'll play it again.
No.
So I bought a bunch of cards.
No.
And then we went and got a burger, like big greasy burgers and fries and stuff. And then went back to his place and, played Magic for like 6.5 hours or something straight. And it was awesome.
That's cool, man.
It was geeking out for so long, and
don't sink into the hole, dude. Don't sink into the
I know. We were talking on the thread, and I remember telling you like an email. I was like, dude, this is scary because like if we actually make this like a thing we do regularly, like it wouldn't be like every like week or not even every month, but that's something like another hobby that costs money. And you came up with a good thing, like just buy the theme decks and stick with those. And just
yeah, that's what
keep it
Jason,
at that.
Jason, Lisa, and I did that, and it worked out pretty well. We had some good times. So
nice. Yeah.
And a good thing about doing that is that everyone's on level playing field from the start.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
no one's out buying
crazy cards and
exactly.
Cool stuff that So it was fun, and one of the guys there was just learning. He's never played before, but he loves that kind of stuff. So. It took him a little bit to catch on, but he cut on really quick after a while. Like, it was good. It was like, it was supposed to be four of us. And then another friend of ours brought a fifth friend, and they showed up fucking shittered. Like, they were probably drinking from like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it goes when you're drinking and playing Magic.
Well, dude, they didn't even end up playing it, because when we were trying to teach the one guy to play, they were, like, in the other room trying to play a game between the two of them, because one of the guys was kind of new at it, and they couldn't even focus. So they ended up going home before, like, 7:30 at night. They were just too hammered. And, yeah, one of the guys ended up, like, throwing up for, like 3 hours in the toilet. So I think it was one of those things where he doesn't get time away from his wife too often. When he did, he just was like, all right, let's, like, down a bottle of Fireball and, like, see what happens. So it ended up just being the three of us, but it was a lot of fun. And Arch Enemy, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but if you like playing matches like that, Arch Enemy is this new version. It's pretty kick-ass. And we bought a deck of that just to see what it was like, and that ended up being, like, the highlight. It's a really fun game. It's basically 3-on-1. But it's pretty balanced and fun. Pretty cool shit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Total geek weekend. It was awesome. I loved it.
Hey, if you like Magic and those types of card games, you really should try out some of the, like, board game card games that they've got, like Dominion, because it's very, very similar as far as, like, the way you play it. Yeah. I get a very Magic the Gathering type feeling when I play Dominion. It's really cool.
Maybe one day I'll try that, but that sounds too nerdy for me, so.
Actually, it's significantly less nerdy than Magic.
I'm totally kidding. I'm being sarcastic. I just had a fucking 10-minute conversation about Magic the Gathering, how great it was, and then I say nerdy with a board game.
Cool.
Now, excuse me. I feel like I need to go, like, have sex with a hot chick or something.
Good luck with that, buddy.
Are you saying Tony's not hot? That's insulting. Yeah, exactly.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. She yelled something. Just to let you know, Travis, you're in a bad books.
I'm the bad books.
Yeah, Travis, what's up? Bet you didn't have a weekend like that.
I didn't. I had a good weekend, though. I got me a new lappy. Mm-hmm. Hence, that's why the reason I'm back here. I'm not on a crappy Mac anymore. I'm really happy about it. Nice little computer. I can actually play some computer games that are not
good.
20 years old. No, it's pretty cool. It's nice. It's a Samsung. I never knew they made computers. How about it?
Oh, yeah, they make pretty good ones, too.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good. It was on sale. It was at the Best Buy. So we got that 18 months no interest financing, and we ended up, this was actually on clearance. It was like $750 to $800 computer, and it was on clearance for like $589. So, and when I'm looking for like laptops or like, you know, high dollar items, that's kind of what I look for first. I look at the bulk computers that are on sale. I want to see like the price differences of the sale, and that's kind of like what I'm looking for. And this one was just kind of like just literally the last laptop that I saw on the countertop, and it was the one, because nothing grabbed at me. I was like, man, I had to get something today, you know, for this upcoming Thursday, and I just, nothing's grabbed me. And it was the last one I saw, and I was like, boom, that's it. That is the one. And it happened to have, like, a decent video card in it and everything, so, I mean, I can run a few games in decent settings. Still can't run Witcher all that well, which disappointed me, so I guess I'm waiting for the 360 version on that. But Skyrim runs absolutely, absolutely great. So I'm real happy about that, but
at medium settings,
yeah. Those are said. This is still a factory Best Buy computer.
Well, you could probably still run Witcher like at Witcher medium, couldn't you?
No, I tried medium low. It was a little bit better. Yeah.
So Skyrim's probably not that tech intensive then, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's not. You know, I mean, the game's constantly streaming at all times, and I think Witcher everything's loaded up at once, so it's a little more taxing on the system.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. I don't know. You would think, you know, Skyrim, as big of a game as that is, that it would have a lot more.
Which technically isn't, like, in terms of size. I don't know how the game's under 4 gigs. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is nuts.
Is it really?
That's, yeah.
Yeah, it's under 4 gigs.
Yeah.
For both. Yeah, if you install it on 360, it's under 4 gigs, and on PC, I think it's just over. 4
yeah. Look at all these games nowadays that are on, like, you know, multiple discs and everything. You know, L.A. Noire was on 4 discs. The games like that.
That's
and
lot of cutscenes and stuff, though.
Yeah, granted, but still, I mean, there's more game time. I mean, there's easily 5 times more game in Skyrim. So it's amazing how they can pack all that on one disc. It's really cool. But other than that, you know, just enjoying the laptop. It's been taking a while to getting everything loaded up, reinstalled on the computer, things that I was missing when the last computer broke down on me. But I am pretty happy.
Very cool.
So
very
that's cool. It, man. Scoots, right. What's happening, bro?
Not much. Going to San Francisco this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going over for Thanksgiving. We're going to San Francisco to visit Crystal's family. So that's going to be fun, hopefully. I know that we're doing Napa Valley while we're out there. And then I'm going to try and convince him to go to the Anchor Brewery, to do like a tour and then like drink some beer at the end. It's out of all the beer tours that I've done, Anchor is still up there as the best. So I want to try and go back again. And then the one thing is that, you know, we're going to probably talk about this a lot. But Skyrim came out and I've been playing that a lot. And, you know, now Saints Row is out and now I'm going away for a week. And it's like, well, shit, what am I going to do? And I was like, well, maybe I'll bring my 360 with me. So I call the hotel and I'm like, hey, do you guys let people who stay at the hotel hook things up to the TVs? Like, do you have access to that stuff in the back? Because some hotels will block it off, right? And they said, yeah, they do. Unfortunately, they have standard definition TVs. They have no HD TVs in this hotel. It's like, really? You don't have HD TVs yet?
What, are you staying at like a budget inn or something like that? Like,
well, yeah. Staying at like one of the cheapest fucking places I could find, dude. I am broke.
Spend an extra $10 a night, dude. Get you some flat screen action going on.
It's not. I couldn't find a place that was $10 more that was nicer, trust me.
Right.
So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring my Wii, and Zelda comes out while I'm out there, and I'm going to pick up Zelda, and I'm going to play that while I'm out there. So hopefully I'll be able to finish that up, you know, before I come back so I can get back to Skyrim. But I guess we'll see. But that's it for me. I mean, outside of, I went bowling with people from work yesterday. Yay. That's about it. First time I've been in like 6 months. So. But let's talk about some games then.
Well, real quick, Chris, it's been a minute. Quiz?
Twavis? What's
up, Twavis? It's been a long time since I've been on the show.
that's two Twavis.
And I'm sure we're all doinking something, so let's see what's at the end of this bar, man.
I'm going to doink that sure. chick like she's never been doinked before.
I need a good doinking. Anyway, Indus Bar, guys. What's going on?
I got vodka 7-Up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's tasty.
Simple, but tasty.
I got George's brand new drink of the year, Stella in a can.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, because that's new to you, actually.
That's new to us. Yeah, this is like almost alien. Wow. It's delicious.
Is it supposed to be better in the can than it is in
in a bottle?
Yeah,
no.
I like it better out of a can.
I don't know. I like it better in a bottle, but like, yeah. I think Stella is its best when it warms up. Well, that drafts is fantastic, but when it warms up just a little bit, like just when it warms just a bit, that's when like Stella has its full taste to me. Because when it's really, really cold, I think you're missing out on a lot of that crispness. But the can, it heats up a little faster for me. So I start drinking it really slow because, like, I don't like canned beer all too much. But once it starts warming up, I just down this bastard. Like, it's nasty. I've had some bad drunks the last couple of weeks because of this fucking canned beer.
Cool story.
But it's sure tasty. Anyway, Chris, drinking. What's up?
I have a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sauvignon. Nice.
Yeah, went out and got some wine. So
the
good.
Wines. I started good. With wine.
Not yeah, this is I actually just saw this on the shelf, and it's from Camelot. That's the wine. That's the winery. Yeah, and it's in California too. So I'm like, I wonder where they are. Are they in Napa Valley? Maybe I can go visit them while we're out there.
Hey, I've had y'all's wine before. Yeah. Whatever, guys.
Definitely
shut
say
up.
That if I went in.
All right, let's talk about games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travis, you don't talk on this podcast because you're never here, so why don't you go first?
Okay, Skyrim.
No, you can't. We're not starting with Skyrim.
I've played 5 minutes of every other game that's come out, and it's not enough to talk about those other games. Skyrim. All right.
Well, you know what? I played 5 minutes times 20 of the Rayman demo. That game's fucking awesome. You guys tried it out yet?
Tell me about it. No, I haven't. But tell me about it. Everyone is raving about this game.
Like a rabid, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
No, I'm just...
I see what you did there.
Terrible spinoff.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, no, it's good, man. First of all, it's gorgeous. I think it's like the best-looking 2D game like I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is like a full-on 2D next-gen platformer, right?
Oh, totally. And it was originally going to be a downloadable game, which I think they should have stuck with that because they went full retail for $60. And from what I read,
that
like
joint
here,
60 clams.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, from what I read in here, it is quite a bit of game for $60. But still, it's still a 2D platformer, which just doesn't seem to do well in retail at all. Whereas at least some that go on download have some success. I mean, like good ones do. But it's a lot of fun, man. It's like it's Rayman, if you played a Rayman game, but it's the levels are built in a way that the first time through it, you're going to kind of stumble your way through. You might die a couple times. But then you realize when you redo that level, there's a certain kind of flow you need to take or certain paths to get, like, all the collectibles. And when you hit that flow, you're, like, constantly moving. And it's really, really rewarding once you figure out how you're supposed to play that level and how to get everything.
What do you mean by flow, though? Is it more or less like that old school style, like, memorization? Or
no, it's not, like, necessarily memorization because there's not too many enemies that you're going to have to come in contact with that kill you. It's more or less like certain... It's a collect-a-thon kind of. Like, you know, it's like a Mario, you get coins, or like Sonic, you get rings.
Right.
And, of course, you want to get, like, a pretty high score by the time you get to the end of the level. But just going straight through, you might not realize, like, you'd be like, oh, crap, how do I get these... Like, you might end up to a part where there's these hands that'll grab you and swing you. And you might think, okay, I'm going to grab that first, and then go get these... you'll get a couple collectibles, be like, oh, crap, how do I get the ones down there? Then you realize if you go get these ones first and go back, get the hand, it'll throw you the other way, which sends you over this kind of, like, loop thing that'll get you the other collectibles, and... It's really hard to explain. You kind of have to see it.
I don't know. Jeff's is working for me. I have a good image in my head of exactly what you're talking about.
No, really?
No, I'm going to turn the sarcasm off now. You can continue.
Okay,
sorry.
I was going to say, that's terrible. Sarcasm doesn't work when I already say it's a terrible fucking video. But yeah. First of all, why haven't you tried it yet? There's no reason why you guys haven't tried it yet. I mean, it's fucking there. It's free. It gives you like three levels, I think. The second level is like a shooter. Like a shmup kind
my
of thing.
My only excuse would be time. I haven't had time to do anything besides play Skyrim, I guess.
Play Skyrim? Okay. Oh, that makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it. I played through the demo, like, probably at least, like, 4 or 5 times. And maybe that's why, because when you're playing the same levels over and again, you get pretty good at them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd do the same thing if I own the game, because I'd probably get through the level and be like, okay, well, I could probably go through it again and be better at it, but I'm just going to, you know, see what the next level is all about. But, I don't know, I enjoyed it, and the fact that I'm thinking of getting this game before I pick up Halo Anniversary or, like, Saints Row or Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is, I think, saying a lot, and I'm not sure if this is because, like, this is the first time ever I picked up a Halo game on day one.
Hmm.
Ever. Like, that includes Halo Wars. I got that on day one. But, but yeah, man, that's... I don't know. I don't know if it's just because my taste in gaming is kind of changing or I just want something like that. I haven't played something like that in a while because I was kind of talking up Sonic Generations last week and I kind of want a platformer just kind of like, I don't know, cleanse the palate, I guess, of all the other stuff that I've been playing. And I'm kind of going between that one or Rayman, but I think I'm leaning more towards Rayman. And it's hard for me to describe the game unless you guys like ask something. It's like, I don't know, because it just feels really good.
I've seen the game in motion on video and everything, and even at Pound Vegas, well, we got to see it live there too. And I mean, it's gorgeous. Animation wise, it's gorgeous. I love the fact that it's you know 4 players at one time. That's a blast. But it just seems like at some times when I was watching people play it, just with 2 players. There seemed to be almost too much on the screen at once with multiple players, you know, playing and everything.
Yeah, I've tried.
This from looks at alone are just like, wow, that just looks daunting. Cause like, you know, Super Mario Brothers, I was starting to get like a Super Mario Brothers, the new Super Mario Brothers on the Wii. Like that game, as much fun as it is, when you get 4 players on that game, dude, you just want to injure somebody. Yeah. Like, it's so aggravating because you just want to play the game. I mean, and I get like that playing like a Lego game with Megan or something like that, you know, because like you share that screen and you know what you want to go do, but the other person's restricting you because they're on the other side of the map. And it's like, fucking go. And it just, you know, nothing happens. And I feel like that situation's going to keep on coming up and everything. Unless it's like one of those issues in the new Rayman game where like, you know, the screen's moving by itself and you just have to keep up with the screen.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I play co-op.
So some of that stuff is hit or miss. That's what I'm really concerned about, because if we can get a few people that we know are definitely going to play through that game a few times co-op, then I'll definitely jump on the game as well.
I also didn't read, that it's actually not online, but I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure it is online.
It's gotta be, dude.
I'm not sure if it is for sure. I can't confirm, because like I said, someone was talking about it in the chat box. They're like, yeah, it's actually not online. Or someone was talking to you yesterday. I'm like, what, really?
Dude, for 60
sure?
bucks? I don't
it
know
better
about
be
that, man.
For 60 bucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. But, that's just me. I like that type of stuff. That's the only other thing besides Skyrim that I really played.
Besides that, during the stream, I played some Saints Row 3. I picked that up from Best Buy. Fun as shit. I've never played a Saints Row game, but like the entire sequence with the with like the free falling and the plane and everything like that that they've shown off videos for, that was really fun to do. It's really over the top. It's like when you first start, it's like one of the first missions you do. You raid a military base, a military weapon cache, and just all these guys in like big body armor are coming after you and shit. And then you turn around and you grab this like, I don't know what they, I forget what they call it, but it's basically, apparently it's pulled right out of like a Call of Duty game where it's like you control like
a hunter missile,
like a missile silo, and you can fire missiles and you can even fire them and then direct where they go and then, and take out like the tanks that are trying to come up on you and stuff like that. So really fun game. I only got to play about an hour of it, but yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it some more. The other game that I know that neither of you are going to mention that, well, especially Jeff isn't going to mention it, that I started playing is, Super Mario 3D Land.
Oh, yeah.
That came out last week. So I picked that up. I was like, well, it's perfect time. I'm heading to San Francisco, so might as well have some extra
portable games. Finally, a great game for your DS.
That's right. Finally. It only took however many months, 6 months for a good game to come out for the 3DS. And it is good. It is really, really good. It's almost like, it feels old school with like a new flair. So it's a 3D Mario game, but it feels like an old school 2D Mario game down to, you know, getting to the end and jumping on the flag and things like that. And, you know, you've got the suit, the Tanuki suit, is that what it's called? With the tail and everything like that. So it feels a lot like Mario 3 that way. And then, you know, it's very well done. It's got
Travis, you didn't get Mario?
No, I didn't. I was too busy getting a game. Too busy playing a game I still can't talk about yet.
We all want to talk about it. Just calm down.
But it's, you know, it's got a lot of the like the newer collectibles from the Mario games. Like there's three of the big coins on each stage, and apparently you like one of the goals is to get to the top of the pole of the flagpole at the end of each stage. And apparently, if you do all of that, it almost like resets the game and gives you like all the levels are now at night. And so I think the analogy that got me was that someone compared it to it's like doing the upside down castle in Symphony of the Night. And I was like, that's an interesting analogy. So I'm very interested to see what that turns out to be.
So, but turning all the levels into night makes a comparison of turning.
Yeah, I know. It's like
it's
you know what, Mario, you know what else? Kind of reminds me of Castlevania.
Yeah. Every racing game I have that has night and day.
It has to do with the amount of game that's left. Like, when you get to 100% on Symphony of the Night, you're not done. You have to get to 200%.
No, it switches. Yeah, it flips.
That's the analogy. Because when you finish the game, you're not done. There's another full half of the game left.
Okay, I thought you made it sound like once you do like a level and you get like this, and this, that like automatically just switches so you can now play it through again at nighttime.
But
does it change gameplay though?
That's the thing. I'm not sure what it changes. I know that all the levels are supposed to be at night. That's just what I heard. And that they become more
difficult. That's where we're making fun of it, because in Symphony of the Night the castle literally flips. And so it changes everything, whereas in this it just sounds like you're playing levels at night and it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. So, I mean, I'm sure I'll find out this week because I know I'm going to end up playing it and beating it.
You now have to headbutt the Koopas instead of jumping on them. That's what's going to happen.
There you go. But, that's it. So, hold on. We can let Travis ejaculate now. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, I don't even want to talk about another game. It's not that good.
All right, let's go on to news.
All right, Chris, you want to talk about Skyrim?
No, the reason I want to bring it up, this is actually the sole reason I wanted to bring it up, because I wanted to shed some light onto Chris, is because, you know, Chris openly has not been a fan of Skyrim. Oblivion. I apologize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when the Fallout games came out, you know, he was a big fan of that, playing tons and tons of those games. And then, you know, of course, everybody knows the last couple of weeks, Jason, Jeff, and I have been really, really trying to push the subject, getting Chris to want to play this game. He bid on it, and apparently, well, I guess, Chris, what I want is to hear what you feel about the game so far, and, you know, why you like this one compared to Oblivion.
I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with I feel like there's more direction. It feels a lot more like, and the thing is, like, I played Oblivion. Both times I tried Oblivion was before I tried Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
So if I, you know, it may be that if I went back to Oblivion now, it would feel different.
Mm.
But this game just feels different to me. It feels more like a Fallout game than it does an Oblivion game. I mean, that you don't, I especially like that they made the picking of locks more like Fallout than Oblivion.
Yeah, well, the ones in Oblivion was terrible.
Yeah, they were bad.
It was horrible. It was fucking horrible. So that was one big thing that really turned me off from Oblivion is just how annoying that little mini game was for picking locks. And, you know, there were other little things too, but, you know, more than anything, it was just that for some reason I just felt comfortable with VATS. And I don't have, okay. I mean, obviously yeah. I don't have that in Skyrim, but, and I mean, I have struggled with the combat in Skyrim just like I did Oblivion. So mm-hmm. it's still not, you know, I'm still not as gung ho on the game as you guys are, but I am enjoying it. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's as much. And I think the big thing is that I think I chose my character wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, I feel
really
like I
choose a character wrong though.
You know what? I think you can though.
I don't feel like I'm playing the character I want to play.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. For what you would want. Well, if it depends what level you are. Once you pass like level 15, maybe between 15 and 20, if you decide that this character is not for you, you're gonna have to start over because you're gonna get to, you're almost halfway to the level cap at that's 50. And if you get there, I mean, you can't start.
15's half to 50.
50. Well, you're getting up there. But once mm-hmm. you get close to that halfway point.
Well, what level?
Wait,
are you, Chris?
I thought you leveled to like level 70. Or are you
no,
saying
you
that
can,
your skills?
You can level your okay. skills up to your, 100.
Yeah, your skills go up.
But
to
your
level
actual 100. Overall skill is 50. Your overall level cap is 50.
But now, so you, correct me if I'm wrong, perks, though. Like, oh, like yeah, correct me. Yes, yeah, 50 perks and everything, but your skills keep on leveling up. But
yeah,
but like, so if you're not getting specific amount of perks and everything, and you're not focusing on specific, you know, skills because you have to have a certain set of skill points to get
definitely.
Said perks. You know, if you're going on around level 20, 25, maybe even, you know, and you decide you're not happy where it's at, you're gonna have to start
oh,
over because
course.
You're
what
not gonna
you
make
at,
it.
Chris?
11.
You can easily change your character.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Just because
well,
that's
like,
yeah.
No, that's the thing. It's like, I picked the Wood Elf because the Wood Elf I felt
that's
had,
what I'm using.
I felt like it would be a good, like, hunter type class where I could.
Hell yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, I don't feel like I have control, like, a lot of control over animals. It's like that. The point is that I wanted,
well,
like.
Well, you do start with a. Don't you start with a magic spell with a Wood Elf to control an animal?
Yeah. But I still have yet to actually cast it successfully on a creature.
Oh,
wait,
really?
Does it just not? Did they resist it, or
I'm not sure.
You should be able to
do
it pretty easily.
Yeah, cause. And I think it's just like my unfamiliarity with the way this game works that mm-hmm. it's taking me because they kind of throw you into it, right? It's not
yeah.
like
yeah, it's kind of like Dark Souls in that way, or Demon's yeah. Souls, where it doesn't really teach you how to play the game.
No,
like it does have little tutorials, which is saying something over a game like Dark Souls, but
right.
it doesn't really direct you in. Like if you want to learn enchanting. You can't learn that or know how to do it until you actually come across something that teaches you how to do it.
Right.
Oh,
unless you find an enchanting table, you
yeah.
have no idea you can even do it.
Well, still, regardless, I agree with you guys 100%. I've been playing hardcore Elder Scrolls since Daggerfall, which is Elder Scrolls 2.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
still don't know how soul gems work.
yeah.
I am not going to lie to you.
I got kind of a grasp
the shit
on it
out of
now.
Me.
It's what don't you need? Like, I'm kind of like, okay, what I'm taking. I'm taking it Skyrim from an angle totally different than Oblivion. Oblivion, I took it where I just felt overwhelmed. I read through some of the strategy guide before playing it, which is a really bad thing to do when you're a gameplayer like me because you want to do everything. And the second
yeah,
too much
too.
Stuff sounds cool, you just want to be like, fuck it, there's too much, I don't want to play it. So I've been playing this game literally like, just play it how I want to play it. I'm trying to avoid talking about specifics of the game in terms of like, where to get this spell, where to get this, unless I'm playing it at that exact time.
Right.
Like I'm talking about like outside of it. But, so I've been kind of like learning stuff, like stuff with soul gems. I'm doing stuff in Skyrim that I never did in like 50 hours of Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think I enchanted a single thing in Oblivion.
Right.
Now
me
enchanting
me
stuff
neither.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, all over the place in Skyrim. Cause once I found out how to do it, like I think I was actually in a cross game chat with like Travis and, another buddy of mine, and they were telling me how to do it. I was like, oh, shit, this is actually pretty cool and good way to, like, level up your enchanting really quick. But, yeah, it's like, I don't... Wow, I had a point. Now I can't fucking remember. Son of a bitch.
This game is beautiful.
No. I'll get back to that. Yeah, talk for a second, Travis.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, I mean, going back to that little joke I had a second ago, but like, yeah, the game is hot, dude. It's gorgeous, especially on the 360.
Game. Overall, it's a good-looking game. Yeah, I don't think some of the textures are blah, but I mean, it's like, are you playing with it installed on your hard drive?
Yes, and I saw that you were supposed to take it off.
Yeah,
because it doesn't run as well, and I took it off,
it
and I didn't
stream it properly.
I didn't notice a difference.
I noticed one difference, and a few times when I was playing it with it on the hard drive. You know, like the waterfalls and stuff?
Right.
If I got a certain distance and I turned around and looked at the waterfall, it was a plain, still, like, blue and white texture. Like, no motion, nothing. And then with it off the hard drive, it's even if you can, as long as you can see the waterfall, you can see it's kind of moving. And it's not, like, as blank-ass flat texture. And I've noticed, and same with the signs. Like, the street signs and stuff, or the street signs, like, the signs that point you to, like, towns and stuff. When you have it, I found when it was on the disc, I could never really read them.
Right.
But when it was not on the hard drive, right when you walk up to it, they're hard to read, but then it takes a second for the texture to kind of fade in, and then you can see it like much clearer. So those are the only two things I noticed. Like overall, it'd be like, oh wow, this is way different.
I'm still playing it on the, I'm still installing it on the hard, I still have it installed on the hard drive.
Yeah.
And of course, this would happen to the very first game that I ever installed on a hard drive. It's like, I've never installed
the
hard drive.
They're like, don't install it.
Yeah. I've only up till recently had a hard drive big enough to do it. So I haven't played many games on my 360 before, since I've, well, let me rephrase that. I haven't played a lot of disc-based games on my 360 since I put the new hard drive in. So this is the first game I've ever installed on the hard drive, and it would figure it would actually fuck it up.
It's the one where you shouldn't.
Right.
I'm sure they're already looking into patching it, so I'm sure there'll be a patch out in like a week or so. But yeah, the game does. Oh man, it is like head and shoulders above Oblivion.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
The lighting effects just like that makes like Fallout look like much worse.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? How difficult are giants to beat?
They're impossible.
Don't even try to fight one.
Yeah.
Like at this point anyway. Yeah.
I don't even know.
One of the companion jobs was to go and get a dagger that was stolen or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the first couple times I actually got there, I made the mistake of trying to kill the giant that was in the little cave. And he just comes over and steps on you. It's like, okay, I'm dead.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Okay,
you
I'm
can't
dead.
Mess no. with those tall bastards.
Just steal it and run the fuck out of there.
Yeah, and that's what I ended up doing is like sneaking in and just taking it and going back. So, I think I still haven't even beaten the second dragon yet. You know, I haven't gotten.
What
that
do you
far.
Mean the second? Like, are you just doing the main quest right now?
No, I mean, so the last main quest that I did was the Greybeards, where you go up and
so
you get the
you get the shout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a dragon on the way up to that mission, on the way up the mountain.
Yeah.
And he kicked my ass. So.
See, that's crazy, because when I was going up there, I never fought a dragon.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because I heard that, you know, while I was, because I actually did it on the stream and got killed while I was on the stream. And, I think Animated Fan is the one that says that must have been one of the randoms. And it's funny, too, because I went through it and the dragon killed me. I got there again, and he didn't show up at the exact same time, but he showed up in the same place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like I got a little bit further up the mountain, and you know how you like kind of scale the side?
And
he still showed up, and he actually shot – it was an ice dragon, I guess, because his breath was actually freezing the horse and me on the back of it.
That's annoying because their stamina goes way down. And
those freezing spells kill that stamina and everything. The dragon stuff was really fun because we all knew the dragons were coming. We all knew they were going to be random. But like, you know, there were certain instances.
I didn't know
they
were going to be random until I got eaten.
They're all random except for the ones that are on the story-based ones and the ones that are on the dragon stones. If you go searching for dragon stones, like they show up as a black dragon head on your map.
And those are some of your guys. If you have not gone after those dragon heads on your map,
go
there. Those are your best shouts.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are your best ones, man. They're fantastic.
Well, what's your strategy on killing the dragons?
Have people with you.
Okay.
Bring people with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I was by myself when I ran into the ice dragon. I was like, oh shit. I'm about to get my ass kicked.
you could probably, at that point, you can bring Lydia with you. Lydia is the girl you meet in the in Whiterun.
Oh, yeah, I have Lydia.
Sweet, Lydia.
So you can have Lydia with you, and that helps a lot, because you get them to get aggro on the dragon, and you just ping them off with arrows from a distance or magic or whatever. And also, you'll get some, some staffs or some spells that you can, conjure up, beasts or, I got a pretty badass, Dremora that I can, summon. Mm-hmm. Only for 60 seconds, but... It does a good job. One-on-one, I've never beaten a dragon yet. I can't do it. But if I have at least one person with me and some luck, I can do it.
Okay.
But one-on-one, hell no. Every time I see a dragon one-on-one, I get the hell out of there.
Right.
Like, fuck this. Yeah, unless it happens to get caught on geometry, which has happened twice now.
But. It's it's funny. The that first dragon that you kill, that's part of the story quest.
And you're with people.
You're with a bunch of people. And the way that dragon died is that he landed and came after me, and he shot his breath out, and I blocked it, and then I took off the block and I hit him with my mace, and he died. So he took a mace.
Did you see the execution animation?
No, I didn't see the execution.
Oh, I did. I know. I got that today. It's awesome.
On a dragon, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it only happens if you get a critical hit at the time you
It's a critical hit at the last hit. My first dragon I fought, the story one, is the one I got with it. I haven't seen it since.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it was awesome. That whole thing of randomness, because this is why I love the fucking game so much. And this is why I don't I fast travel. If I have a marker that's for my quest that's really far, what I usually do is I fast travel halfway and then I walk the rest. Because if you're fast traveling everywhere, chances are you're not going to see all this cool stuff that you can see because you're just not out in the open to see it.
Yeah, it's just the land is so fucking big, man.
Oh, it's huge.
And it doesn't seem like having a horse helps. It really doesn't.
The first horse you get isn't that much faster.
Yeah, it's the horse seems like he's not doing any different. It's like, did I just waste 1,000 gold on this fucking horse?
Well, running with the horse makes a big difference. Yeah. Running with a horse is actually really fast. But it's a pain when you have a companion, though, because they don't have a horse.
Right.
And you're running, and you're all right, catch up, all right, let's run again, whatever. But, yeah, the second dragon I encountered was actually, I bought my first horse, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go into Riverwood and pick up some, a friend of mine said I can get that one spell, you can get that clairvoyance, which shows you where your objective is. Mm-hmm. If you're lost, it'll show you, a path briefly. So I went there to get it. So I walk over there and I'm get off my horse and just walking into town. I figured, okay, town is safe. And then all of a sudden, the townsfolk are, they're being normal. And all of a sudden, they start frantically running around and yelling oh, you got to get out of here now and run. I'm like, what's going on?
All the guards have their swords out and everything.
The guards pull their swords. So I'm looking around and they're like, oh my God, we're getting attacked by something. And all of a sudden, over top, you see the shadow pass.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. On the ground, I see this. I'm like, I am screwed. I'm not ready to fight this dragon. I look up. It's swooping around. It starts landing on the buildings in the town, the houses, and starts breathing fire off over everyone. And everyone's shooting arrows. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm sitting there just shooting arrows at it from far away. I'm level 5 or something. I'm not that high. I'm like, I'm going to get my ass kicked. And I'm just just trying to let the other guys do the work. And I ended up killing it. Well, I guess the other guys did most of the work, but it died and I got my soul. But I couldn't find my fucking horse. I was like, I just spent $1,000 and it killed my freaking horse. Yeah. It's 1,000 gold gone. But it didn't actually kill my horse. I found my horse behind a house later. I was like, oh, there you are.
Oh, I actually ran away.
You crazy horse, you.
I actually ran into a couple skeletons and killed them. And then I started just looking around without getting back on the horse. All of a sudden, the skeleton came back to life and killed my fucking horse. I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, no,
that's
really?
That's shitty. Come on.
Yeah, you gotta protect those buggers, man.
Yeah, the randomness is awesome, and props to the guys over at Bethesda for they let us know that these dragons were happening, that the dragons were random, but they didn't say that they could pop up anywhere.
Anywhere.
The first time that happened to me when they popped up in a random, it was Riften it happened in for me. It was just a random dragon popped up and landed on a building. Freaked my shit out, because that was the last place I was expecting a dragon to show up. And it was just a great experience. It was real fun. I had a really, really crazy random experience and everything like that. One of the first you know, main campaign story missions you do, a main character gives you, like, the ability to own property, and they give you this servant girl. You brought her up, Lydia.
Lydia, yeah.
I think they call her House Carl. So now she can stay at your house and everything like that, or you can actually bring her on as a companion. She's a hand-to-hand fighter and everything. So I had Lydia with me easily for the first 10 to 12 hours of my game. I mean, it got to the point where we were going through every dungeon together, every story mission together. Yeah. I mean, I got to the point where Lydia's my home girl, dude. Like, there's nothing that...
Hold that thought before you go on. This is my problem with bringing companions on dungeons. They ruin my sneaking.
Yeah. Dude, shit.
Really?
I'll try to sneak up on someone. I'll be tired, and they'll either ruin it or they don't like run in there. I'm like, oh my god.
I haven't had that issue yet.
I've had two different issues. I've had one where they ruin my sneak, and I've had another where after my sneak is gone, they're still sneaking around, and they just come and like they don't attack when people are coming after us.
Yeah, I have not had that issue one time.
But then I did learn you can actually give them commands.
Yes.
Oh, can you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. If you click on them and then you get basically given a command, you can tell them where to go. You can say like go over here and hide, or go over here and wait.
You actually talk to them.
And you can. But the thing is, like, that's kind of annoying. So like, okay, just wait here and sneak up these guys. But I'm not sure if there's a quick button to tell them like, oh crap, I'm seeing attack.
That's,
like, I don't know.
And that's
they always attack. They attack automatically. I've never had an issue to where they messed up my sneak. Like when you drop down.
Really?
If you don't have any weapons in hand, you drop down, they drop down too, and they stay behind you.
If
you pull your weapon out,
thing,
they'll
then.
Stay hidden, but they'll pull the weapon out too and be ready. Like, I don't know, like.
Cause I just, like, started using Lydia, cause I did the, companion quest line first, like the, basically the equivalent of, like, the Fighters Guild or Warriors Guild.
That's what I'm doing right now, yeah.
And I'm guessing maybe the guy I'm bringing on with that, maybe he's just more aggressive.
Right.
I'm guessing maybe if he sees a guy, he's like, "Oh, it's on!" And like I'm sitting there like, "All right, way to go, buddy. Way to be fucking
ninja." The one
awesome.
That decided to stay sneaking while someone came over and beat the crap out of her. That was the companion
the chick
from
the
companion.
Face paint.
The one that face paint chick that after you. I don't want to
She's
spoil
great,
that
though.
Part.
Hey,
She's
at
great.
Least girls actually look like females in this one.
Yeah, great legs too.
Not like dudes with long hair.
But anyway, let me
finish your story.
I'm gonna finish the story. So Lydia's been with me for like 10, almost over 10, 12 hours. And I'm at the point where I'm just emotionally just like attached to this person. Like she is going to be my person this entire game. She's going to be my companion, my sidekick in this story. So we were walking around. We did a mission in Riverwood. And if people haven't seen it yet, Riverwood's like this really, really small town. It's all like wooden small houses, all one story houses and everything. And it runs along this river that goes all the way down to where you can like, you know, if you walk it, you'll eventually hit like some class 3 rapids and stuff like that. It's gorgeous. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliantly made countryside. So anyway, we're walking, from Riverwood because, there's another mission we're going on. This had us maybe walking a half mile to this cave. So we're walking there. And of course, it triggers a random dragon encounter. So I'm like, okay, well, we've had a couple of dragons before. It's not a big deal. So I'm like, okay, let's kick this thing's ass. So we start going at it. She's hitting it melee, and I'm going ahead and I'm going arrow style on it. And it just does this like head attack that drops her on one knee to show that she's at the smallest bit of life left. So I'm like, holy fuck. I've never seen her with that much low health yet. So I unequip my bow and go to sword and shield, and I'm like hauling ass right towards the dragon and everything. And the second that I get to even get a chance to raise my sword, the dragon rears its head back, grabs her in its mouth, shakes her a few times, and throws her halfway across the battlefield. And I'm like, fuck no! No! So I kill the dragon. I loot all the stuff and everything, and I look and I find her, and she's just laid out. She's gone. And I'm like, fuck me. But you know what? What I did, it could have been so easy. So easy for me to just reload that save.
Yeah, but you don't know if you'll find the dragon again.
It's not even that. I can find 1,000 dragons. It's not even that. It's the fact that, you know what? I'm going to appreciate this game for what it's trying to do. And is create this random moment-to-moment experiences. You know what? Yeah. As much as I can just easily go back and save this character that I love this character. She's the shit. As much as I can go back and save her, you know what? she's done. She died. And I'm going to leave it at that. But it was depressing as shit. So I did this. This is super, super gay. Here's my nerd moment for the weekend, all right? So I got really, really depressed that, you know, she was dead and everything. So after looting her body, I... if you hold the A button, you can actually pick up items and pick up bodies and everything and drag them. Yeah. So I picked her up and everything. And, of course, River Run runs along these rapids and everything. So I actually walked into the stream, put her in, the current, the actual living current in the game, took her body away. It was a crazy, random, cathartic moment that I so appreciate that I had a chance to even do in that game.
You know what's going
to
be cool and kind of creepy is, like, 30 hours from now, you're going to find like, some part of a river, and you're going to be like, hey, what's that in the rocks?
What the fuck?
Like across the thing.
Bloated carcass of my best friend. It was such an awesome moment, though. It was really nice. Like, when I was sitting there waist high in water, it was kind of like a very Cloud and Aerith moment, like just to have her float away and everything. And it was awesome. It was cool. So I was like, you know what? This little moment right here justifies the fact that I'm not going back and just loading my save up. It was awesome. It was a great moment. So, cheers to Bethesda for even allowing the chance for that to happen, because it was not in their plans for me to have that experience.
No, God, no. Like, there's so many things, like, I've experienced, and I'm like, oh my, it's cool. Like, it's full of water cooler moments that no other person will experience, except for you. Like, so many of them. And, like, even, like I've snuck up on a couple dragons sleeping, which is awesome. Like,
yeah, the Dragonstones. Yeah, they're just crashing right there. Yeah,
because if you come up behind them, they're just chilling, sleeping. Like sometimes they'll be perched up, looking around. But I've been lucky enough to find them. They're like literally sleeping. You hear them breathing. I'm like the first time I'll tell this one story, which also brings me into: have you guys fought a dragon priest yet?
Oh my god, fuck those guys.
Oh well, so I'm like I saw one of those the black dragon skulls on my. Map ticker thing on the top of the screen, so I'm like, I'm gonna go for it. So I went up there, and I'm totally going the way that's not. I knew it was gonna be the way that wasn't facing it, because I had to like scale the mountain and find clever ways to like get up it, because there was no like open path. So I come over the perch of the mountain, and I can hear the like breathing. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's definitely a dragon. So I go into sneak, and I look over, and I see it. It's like perched on this thing, sleeping. I'm like, okay, you know what? Because my dagger's sneak attack, this nerdness, does like something like 16 times damage or something like that. So I'm like, can I get close enough? Maybe if I fall off the part of this mountain on my way down, I can smack it before hitting the ground. And it actually became scared. I'm like, no, I can't give up this chance. I gotta do the bow. So I cock back the bow, shoot it, that's like 3 times damage or whatever. And even on a dragon that did hardly anything, it woke up. And we battle it. I end up beating the dragon. And this is from behind the stone, so I come up to the front of it to get my, this is the only time I, reloaded the game that became to, like, not death. But I, went across to the front of the stone, and all of a sudden I'm going to get, like, the word, because the dragon stones actually have the words on it, where you absorb the word, and you can, it either opens up a new shout, or it gives you an upgrade to one of the shouts you've already opened, like, another word. So, and then all of a sudden, this coffin opens up next to it, and this dude just rises up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, he's probably another mage. I'm just gonna shoot at it a couple times. I did. Nothing. Barely did any damage. I'm like, I'm gonna summon my Jamora. The Jamora can't even get to him because he keeps backdashing kind of thing. And my companion couldn't do anything. So I'm like, oh, fuck. So it ends up, like, killing me. So then I reloaded, because you have to, because I died. But then I did the cheap thing. I basically just... I saved after the dragon, I ran over, stood in front of the word, so I got the word, absorbed it, and just ran.
And just took
like
off.
Like a pussy. I just took off. I just,
that's what you were talking about, stealing the words.
Yeah, so you don't kill everything around it. Like, you can get the words from a dragon stone at any time. Like, you can do it while fighting a dragon or whatever, but, usually you'd figure, like, I'm gonna kill everything around it, then get it. I was like, no, I'm gonna grab this, hopefully I live while I'm absorbing it, and then I basically just tumbled down the mountain. I went down the mountain as fast as possible and just ran like a girl. It was awesome.
Nice.
But I got the best, I got this shout that's, throw voice, and it gives you all 3 words at once, so as long as you have the dragon souls to put into it to open up the words, you can use it right away. And Chris, it would be good if you like sneaking. It's basically the equivalent of, like, in Batman, using the sonic batarangs where you throw one and it sends off a signal.
Or like throwing an empty cartridge in Metal Gear, like you're just like
creating
a distraction somewhere. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty cool. But it was awesome.
Actually, Jeff, what was the quest that you were talking about where you get drunk? and you had to go back.
Man, oh my god, it's brilliant.
Where is
did
that?
Did you finish it? It's in Whiterun.
It is in Whiterun?
Go to the bar. Just go to the bar and a guy will come up to you, or you can just like
he's sitting at the bar, isn't he, actually?
When I got him, he wasn't sitting at the bar. He was standing.
When I went in there, he was just standing up.
You gotta go at night.
Maybe.
You gotta go at night.
Yeah, okay. It was definitely at night when I did it.
Yeah.
And then he came up to me, he was like, hey, you wanna have a drinking competition? I bet I can like drink more than you. And you start like a drink competition. Then you wake up, and I'm not gonna spoil where you are, but you have no idea where you are, what you've done. And the entire quest is basically you tracing your steps backwards on what you did that night. And it's really when you put everything together, it's actually pretty hilarious, especially when you get to the end.
I'm probably halfway through right now.
Okay.
And I was talking to Jeff about it last night, cuz we were in a party chat while I was playing it, and I'm like,
yeah,
this is kind of like the Hangover for Skyrim. It's awesome
because
you're finding out all this shit you did, and people are telling you all the stuff you did, and it's like there's no way.
Well, that's sort of like the main that's the thing is this game is so hard to spoil or not spoil, because some people will play like 100 hours this game and maybe not even do this quest at all. So it's like so hard. It's hard to tell what you're spoiling. But a part in this, you meet a farmer and he comes up to me. He's like, oh, you had the guts to show up again, huh? And you're like,
yeah.
What the hell did I do?
I know.
And he's like, oh, yeah, you seem pretty happy when you're selling my goat to the giant. And you're like, what? Selling your goat to the giant? And he tells you how you were all drunk and shit and you stole his goat and sold it to a giant. He's like, I'm not going to tell you what you told me until you go get my goat back.
Yeah.
So then you have to go get this guy's goat. From a giant. I'm like, so the entire time I'm seeing, like, how do I do this? I can't kill the giant. I literally attempted this about like 5 times. So finally, I finally figured out a way that to cheap it out. And I was like, I need to get this kill. But the whole quest line is like stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. And the end of it's really good. If you haven't played Oblivion, you might not really understand the end of this quest, but it's got some relevance. But it was pretty cool. And, the thing is, we're already going into telling stories about Skyrim, but we haven't really talked about the game in general. But not that I guess that's really important at this point.
Not important, it's great.
You can tell we all love it.
Yeah, because if it was your normal game, we'd be talking about the game itself. But it's been all about experience, and I think that's the point behind these titles. You know, anything Bethesda does, it's all about experience.
Yeah.
And that's all I've been getting out of this game is, you know, I would go into work and I would tell, you know, some of my, you know, employees about the experience I had. Guess what happened to me today in Skyrim? Because every day it's something cool and something new. And you can't get that in, you know, any of the games that we're playing, you know.
And as buggy as people have been saying it is, I've been lucky and not come across, like, too many, like, bugs that were game-breaking or anything. Like, my game hasn't froze on me yet. And I'm 22 hours in, I think. Which... it's crazy for me with a game like this already. That's already almost half of what I put into Oblivion over a year and a half. So I'm enjoying it. I'm gonna try to put off not buying another game till next year, actually, because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need to right now.
there's no point. I'm enjoying it too. I mean, I'm actually glad there's nothing in December coming out that I'm interested in. You know. all right. Let's move on. We've been talking almost an hour.
I'll say this right now, without the game of the year talk. One of the best soundtracks of this year, easily.
What's that?
Oh, that's good.
In this game. So the soundtrack to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, the music in this game is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. Anyway.
Let's do some news.
Right. Skyrim sold 3.8 million.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Wasn't it like one day or something like that?
48 hours.
48 hours. Hey, that's good. Two days, man. That's not bad. Especially considering it's an RPG. I am okay with
exactly.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And there's no guns.
So
you don't shoot people.
Well, no. You do, but it's with a bow and arrow.
But the game you do shoot people, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3.
Game of the year?
Liar.
the game that you will not talk about, even though you played it.
Next
week. $775 million worldwide in 5 days.
Insane.
That's ridiculous. That's a lot of sheep.
Yeah, it broke every single entertainment record you could possibly think of.
That is a lot of sheep.
No,
it's not sheep, dude. That's a legit game, dude. That game is
good
legit.
Games. Yeah. I know, Activision, blah, blah, but say what you will, but they're really well-made games. But, yeah, that's a shitload of money.
Let's see. I've got a couple... official PlayStation Magazine confirms that, well, Kojima is on the cover of official PlayStation Magazine, and he confirms Metal Gear Solid 5 is happening.
Game
Not
of the
that
year.
Anybody is really, you know, surprised by this.
Clamoring for it or surprised.
I guess, well, I guess my thing is...
he said 4 was going to be the last one.
Well, he said 4 was going to be the last one with Solid Snake.
For Snake.
With Snake.
Yeah.
So,
do you think they'll actually do one without Snake, though? Well, at all?
Well, it could...
It's going to have to be some part of the game,
It could be another prequel where it's not actually Snake and stuff like that. But, you know, they've got avenues they could go. They'd be stupid not to make another one. Yeah. You know,
they have cop-outs, basically.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. It's dodging... It's using a loophole in the canon. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't care.
As much as I like 4 and stuff.
Yeah,
I just want them to change up the gameplay. Like, we've had so many good stealth games the past few years that have done it so much better than Metal Gear. Like, I'm not talking overall story and stuff, but I mean the actual way the game's played.
Well, even stealth. 4, dude, 4 was not bad, dude. That was some really...
No, it wasn't terrible.
Really, really good. I thought it was really good stealth.
Nah, I don't know.
I do want to see... I do see where you're coming from, though. Like, you know, with games that do some really cool things, like, you know, Splinter Cell Convention.
Batman. I want to see an actual advancement in gameplay now, and not just graphic. Like, they did change some stuff in 4 for the better. Like, 4 is probably my favorite one.
Right.
Only because I haven't played 3, but...
Well, much thanks to Ryan Payton for bringing some Western influence over there for that. But I think, you know, actually touching on that Western influence, I think as a whole, the Japanese video game industry is kind of shifting over to the Western way of making games, especially
trying,
these action games they're trying to. So, I mean, I think he's going to focus on, you know, what's new that we can do, what's something that we can, you know, do to revolutionize, you know, because they were kind of the first for the stealth action. So, I think it's their time to, I mean, if anybody can do it, I think it's them. I think they have the ability to. So hopefully we can see something really positive come out of that.
I'd hope so. But 2013 is not for a while.
Yeah, we got a ways.
I mean, let's see some Rising first. How about that?
Please.
Well,
that looks awesome.
Guys, when I said 2013 off air, I was joking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh,
I was joking.
I thought you were saying that was
there's
part
no
of the
date
thing.
Or anything.
Well,
they just said that it's
happening. But realistically, I don't think that'd be too
realistically,
far
realistically, it's not going to be.
It's not coming. I can guarantee you it's not coming out next year.
No, not at all.
There's no way. Because Rising's going to be their game next year. Yeah.
If Rising
even 2013 is probably. If not 13, 2014. So
there you go.
Either way. But yeah, and knowing Kojima, he's not going to rush it out there. So,
Vita's coming out soon. Pretty soon.
It is.
And one of the things that they were talking, it's a few weeks away in Japan. One of the things they were talking about is that Sony was going to try and figure out a way to get people to transfer their UMD games over to.
Hey, they should have done this to the Go.
I know.
The same.
So this is kind of old news, but this is, it happened on Friday and we record on Thursdays. So we kind of missed it last week. But basically, one of the things that they are doing in Japan is they've got this passport program. And the way it works is you download a passport application from PSN onto your PSP, and then you boot the application, drop your UMD game in there, and it registers it, and then you can go download it for a discounted price on the Vita. That's great, but one of the problems that I have with this is that the pricing...
You've already paid for it.
Yeah, well, number one, you've already bought. You've already bought this game. Now, number two, the pricing for the discount, quote-unquote, for these games that you're getting off PSN, the ones that they have listed for Japan are between 500 and 1500 yen. So that's roughly between it's between $5 and $15, and then, you know, it scales based on...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it scales based on the shitty dollar. So, but yeah, I mean, you know what? I said it a while back. I said, you know what? I'd be okay with $5. You know, $5, I'd probably transfer a few games.
Why don't they do free? I don't get it. If you're paying for some kind of license
because,
that they know that you have it, why don't they just do it for free?
Because then they don't make their money. Because what's to stop people from going
but
out
they've
to
already made
and buying used games and then just dropping them in their PSPs and then returning them? You know?
Okay, yeah.
I mean,
can see
I see the reasoning behind it. But I don't agree with the 1500 yen or $15 price range.
But can you just return a used game, though? I guess because
yeah, within
it
7 days,
sealed,
yeah, you
right?
can. Within 7 days.
But if it's not sealed, it's only trade-in value.
Not with, I don't think
we may
so.
Have an expert here, may or may not.
Who may
what?
Be keeping
saying.
His mouth shut.
I don't think, as far as I know, as long as that seal's broken on the used thing, you can only get trade-in value for it and not a full refund or exchange for that same price. So that if that's true, then I don't see it. What it could do is prevent people from trading around a UMD. Be like, hey, here, you borrow this after I use it. Yeah. Download it. Borrow this after download it. But the GameStop trade, I don't think that'll really work. I don't know. I just have, if you've already bought the game on UMD, I just hope or wish, maybe it's just kind of like a pipe dream, but that they could find some way that you can just copy it or do something if you have a physical form with some kind of like DRM or something. Like this thing's going to be online. It's got 3G or Wi-Fi. Like, then you couldn't play the single player games if you don't have the 3G version and you're out and about in the world. I don't know. It's a step in the right direction, I guess. But I'm sort of like, why are they? I don't think there should be prices like 5 to 15. It should be $5.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be $5, period.
Yeah, you've already bought the game. And chances are, if they're a new game, you probably bought it when they were like $40.
Yep.
Like $35, whatever PSP games are. Yep. So you add on $15 for that, now you're paying up to like $55 for a PSP game.
Yeah, I'm not exactly happy with the situation, to be honest with you, but.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, granted, it's better than nothing. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But I still would have rather seen a better price on these, you know, the downloads themselves. I mean, I understand having to charge for them. There's licensing things that you have to deal with and shit like that. But
why can't they tie it to a PSN account like Xbox Live does?
They do.
Then why wouldn't it just be like, hey, this person's got the game. They got whatever. They can download it now for free.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then the only difference is you cannot transfer that, or if it's used by some other user, then it doesn't work. Because that would prevent, at least, it wouldn't prevent the people that may have lent out UMDs in the past to their friends who might have like a save game or have whatever, and they can download it, but it would stop it from happening after that point.
You know what they could do?
To be
honest with you, you know what they could do? Alright, so it's probably not a big secret that what is probably behind the Vita's little operating system is probably based on Android. It's probably they could easily make an app that has a barcode scanner and just scan the barcode of your box.
Mm-hmm.
And
then, you know, I'm pretty sure that each one is unique, right?
No, they're all the same, dude.
They're all the same.
Yeah, they all ring up the similar SKU codes and everything.
Yeah, I know there's the same SKU, but I thought that the barcodes might be have a unique number to know like. Which like how many copies?
Maybe
are, I don't know.
You could. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like those Walmart scanners. Where you can just bring in anything that's not even from that store and scan it. It's like, oh, this is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's
packs
true.
Of cigarettes way back in the day.
Oh well.
But, I don't know. I'm sure they're not. They have people there that are a lot smarter than us that have probably thought about this a lot more than we have.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know what? There's really not.
Well, here's what I think about this. I have a Go and it's hacked, so I'm just gonna play my UMD games on my Go.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm just gonna keep that little that shiny little thing. It
makes
me
well.
Happy. That's all the news I've got. I didn't even find a good enough who gives a shit this week. I don't know if you guys found.
Oh, that wasn't it?
No, that wasn't it.
Oh, sorry. No, I have no idea. I don't have one either. I mean, that's all like the big news, I guess. Really.
Yeah, it was.
I can think of, or I can see anyway.
Cool. Well, hey, you know,
can we
talk
about more Skyrim?
About the new Xbox.
Yeah. Well, that's like, you know, it's not confirmed.
Right now,
shit.
And that's why I said who gives a shit.
Dude, just who gives a shit? Okay, I was going to say, new consoles are always fucking awesome.
But the, yeah, the reason rumors, I who gives a shit that rumors. Is because we don't know anything yet, so.
Nothing's concrete. Right. Just people on their blogs, people who know people who see people's nieces and nephews. And
yeah.
Their cousins, uncles, grandma works for someone.
Father's, brother's, cousins, nephews, former roommate.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cool. Well, hey, let's take a break.
Night.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about games that we would buy just because they are made by a certain developer. I'm going to do some weird. This is listener email and any questions.
Talk about Skyrim.
So stay with us. And be right back.
It's time to wake up.
All right, mic check. Check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer, got my Doritos, check my perks here, yeah, sweet, I'm gonna kill me some terrorists, they ain't never gonna know what hit 'em. That's right, bitches, I'm coming for you, get ready to reap the whirlwind, game, set, match, motherfucker, get ready, there's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goo is a VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Today, we are talking about developers that you would buy games from them regardless of whether you want them or not, really. That's what it sounded like when Travis brought it up a couple weeks ago. So I know we did get some response from this, so I'm going to pass it off to Travis, let him read some emails.
Yeah, read some stuff.
All right. First one comes from Scorcho, first-time writer. It's actually one of my employees, so I'll actually... make sure we do it right.
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count, right?
Next time, make sure he follows directions and actually sends an email instead of posting on the
exactly,
post.
Yeah. He needs to, yeah.
My boss made me do it.
We'll have to do like a little coaching at work to see if we can get this fixed. The simplest answer to the question of the week is yes. That, of course, is not enough to answer this loaded question. When I was younger, I never paid heed to the tiny logo on the bottom corners of my Vijima games. They were all merely separate magical worlds that I could lose myself in. As time progressed, I became aware of certain trademarks, or lack of a better term, associated with some of these developers. The most prominent example in my experience would be Knights of the Old Republic. From the very first moment I stepped foot in the BioWare's version of Star Wars Universe, I knew I would gladly father anything these guys thought up. Their gaming loins were sacred in my eyes. I then realized that I already owned some of BioWare's titles, but my current library just wasn't enough. The addiction had begun. BioWare was my gateway drug, so to speak. I started looking into my favorite games and their developer/publishers. My eyes had finally been opened. There was a slight problem, though. Some developers, can anyone say foreign, made some wonderful universes that I wanted to dive into with total disregard, but couldn't. Either because they were only available in other countries, or their inflated price was not compatible with my pathetic high school income. I have since built my library with a plethora of Atlas games that I have mostly not even played. Am I ashamed of irresponsibly spending money? Yes. Am I amazingly proud of having a better RPG library than you? Hell fucking yes. So, where is the balance between buying games with no personal restraint and picking up the few games you truly want to play? I have no idea, and I probably won't ever find the mythical balance. But I don't care. I want my games, and I will have my games. So my final comments, I love you, BioWare. I love you, Atlas. I love you, id. I love you, THQ and Volition. I love you, Square. I love you, Enix. I love, hate you, Squeenix. And I probably love and hate a multitude of developers, which I am too drunk and tired to individually mention. So thanks.
There's some big words in there for being tired and drunk. Just saying.
Yeah, big stuff. Big stuff. A lot of stuff in that email, actually.
Yep. In fact, actually, that gave me a great idea for a question of the week that we will get to maybe later.
Put that in your Canadian pocket.
I just wrote that shit down because I knew if I don't, I'm going to forget.
You would forget it, yeah. There's medicine for that, by the way.
Is there?
I guess. I don't know. There was a name for it. I forgot it.
Yeah. Ovaltine? That's an old person thing, right?
Ovaltine is an old person thing?
I don't fucking know, man.
I got Ovaltine for my son, so he would drink milk.
What?
Yeah.
So it tastes like orange?
Ovaltine?
I don't know what it tastes like. We've already, like, by the way, I have no clue.
What the hell are you talking about? Ovaltine's like chocolate milk, dude.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's in that stuff that was in that movie.
In that movie. The one with the guy that was wearing that shirt.
He had the hair.
No, because it was like it was the movie where he drank Ovaltine because he wanted to find out what happened to Little Orphan Annie.
Was the movie Little Orphan Annie?
No.
Oh, sounds like a chick flick to me, so.
Anyway.
Beautiful movie.
Apparently, it comes out to I have no fucking clue what Ovaltine is, so.
Yeah, orange is Tang, dude.
No, I know it's Mucilix? No, not Mucilix. There's some kind of weird fiber shit that's
get
like
your
orange.
Fiber.
I don't know. And that's like, oh, that's, whatever.
All right.
So anyway.
Next. Sup, dudes? Hedges 1001 again for the question of the week. Hell yes, I buy games because of specific publishers and devs.
Hell yes,
you do. The first that comes to mind was during the PS1, PS2 days where I bought everything with a Square Enix logo on it, which is not true because Square Enix wasn't available during PS1, PS2. Anyway, however, PS2, lately yes. I've been on a massive NIS spree. We'll finish this in a second. I've even traded Uncharted 3 and Demon's Souls to get Disgaea 4. I have even imported the collector's editions of Hyperdimension Neptunia and R. Tunnelico Koga from the Great Canadia. So there you have it, dudes. One question of the week, PS3 Mayo. Peace out.
Thanks, Hedges.
Thank you, sir.
Wasn't Enix bought by Square after the PS, the Super Nintendo era?
Nope. It was after PS1.
It was definitely PS2 for sure.
Funny how this works. It was shortly after Square made the Final Fantasy movie,
which would have been before 10 or just after 10.
It was
around 10.
It was around 10 I don't remember.
Because what's his name?
But it wasn't 10. Because I remember when Final Fantasy 10 starts, it says Squaresoft.
But they didn't use the actual Squeenix name for. I'm pretty sure they.
Because they did for the PS1. They did Square EA.
Yes, but they were still. Wasn't Enix still owned by them? They just didn't use Squeenix till later. I could be way off. I'm not a big fan. I thought they were bought shortly after the Super Nintendo, like Genesis days, but they just didn't. They still had separate names, but they didn't actually combine them until later.
Yeah, they may have.
I could be totally wrong.
You could be wrong.
Well, maybe I'm gonna look it up as you read the next email.
Okay, cool deal. All right, coming up next.
But that's two for Squeenix, by the way. That's like, used to be.
Yeah, something tells me that this is not gonna be the last time we hear of Squaresoft this feature. But anyway, coming up, Sean Recupido comes up with his regular weekly email saying, "Hey, I've never bought a game that I had no interest in because of publisher loyalty. The closest thing I will do to this is buy a game for full price rather than waiting for a price drop when I know the game will tank. I did buy a second copy of Burnout Paradise on the PSN store because I felt they deserved some of my money, and I originally bought a used copy for the 360. I am also somewhat loyal to the EA Sports team because they make my absolute favorite game, FIFA, and pretty much all their games lately have been way above par. I have put so much time into it and that I would easily have paid double the price for it. So even though I am not a boxing fan at all, I have picked up the Fight Night games in the past and haven't been disappointed. I have also gone back and picked up a copy of Oni on PS2 just to see what Bungie's previous work was like. I have definitely gone the other way through and waited for a game to go on sale or used just the spite of the publisher. For example, I don't always agree with Activision's business practices, so I've contemplated buying a $5 discounted used copy of Modern Warfare 3 just to say fuck you to Activision, but I will have no willpower and life is too short, so I bought it regardless. So anyway, keep up with the good work. Sean Recupido.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. He brings up a good point about, you know, games that we play nowadays, and then, okay, I like this developer, and you actually see some older games that the developer made, and you jump into them and, you know, try to play some older stuff that company made. I don't know if that practice will pay off if you play Oni, if you're a Halo fan.
not at all.
I don't think it'll pay off, but...
Bungie's one of mine where it, like, any kind of Halo game, I would, of course, would buy not only because it's, like, Halo and Bungie, but I don't know if it's a coincidence that the anniversary edition's not made by Bungie, it's made by 343, that I didn't pick it up. I don't think it is. I think it's just I see a pattern in my buying habits where I think 4 is my limit, and I realized this actually today before we recorded, how God of War is like one of my favorite series of all time, but after I played 4 of them, I was kind of like, meh, on playing anymore, and I was like, wait a second, that's the same with Halo. It was Halo 1, 2, 3, ODST. Reach. I guess ODST is 1, 2, yeah. And then, but God of War 1, 2, and 3, and Chains of Olympus. And then I totally pass on Ghost of Sparta. And it seems to be passing on Thing.
That's interesting. That's actually very interesting. The rule. Well, you know what we're going to call it? The Rule of 4.
The Rule of 4.
That's a good one.
But Oni, I don't know.
Oni's a rough game. It was interesting. It was interesting.
And Myth was before that, right?
Yeah, Myth was before
that. I never played any of those games.
So. Myth is cool. That was that bloody strategy sorcery type game, right?
I've seen screenshots. I've never played the game or anything.
I think
Chris,
that was it.
It, at all? It was a PC.
I haven't.
I have no idea.
I just remember being really bloody. I think
it was fantasy, right?
Yeah. It was fantasy and it was bloody. That's all I can think. Yeah. If I was doing word association and someone said myth, I'd go blood.
I remember it, but I just I don't. I didn't.
But yeah, but fans of like, you know, it people, because I know the majority like the Infinity Ward Modern Warfare is, but if, you know, if people like the Black Ops games or if they like World at War or some of the even the older World War II type of Call of Duty games, if you like Treyarch's way of doing Call of Duty, do jump back to the PS2 and the Xbox One Ultimate Spider-Man. In my opinion, they made the best Spider-Man game ever.
That was wondering if it could be Venom and Spider.
Yeah, and that was Treyarch, man.
I had no idea that was Treyarch.
It's a fantastic game.
Because is that when what's it called? Pass it off because they started doing Guitar Hero. Neversoft.
Neversoft. Yeah, they passed it off. Okay. But yeah, Treyarch did a fantastic job with that, and I guess they Activision saw quality in what Treyarch was doing with that, and they said, okay, well, let's put them on our
let's put
biggest
them in
brand.
A first person shooter. Let's
you guys do games, right? This one is good.
Exactly.
Let's try this one. But that's what kind of brought me up with that email and everything. Like, because I've done it a lot of times. I've gone and seen it. Okay, I love this game right now.
See, I haven't
what
really
had these
done
guys done
that.
Before?
Because I usually look up, like, if I really enjoy a game as the developer, I'll usually check, like, the history. And then a lot of the times the games don't match up to what that game is in terms of like what the design is or what I'm interested in. So I'm like, I don't know if I'll enjoy that kind of, like, I mean, dude, if you were to look up Guerrilla's past history, that's like the Killzone guys.
Yeah.
You would
not
throw up
good.
With how terrible the stuff that they made. You'd be like, oh God. They made like Shell Shock, I think the game was called, for Xbox.
Yeah, that was that weird.
The game was terrible.
Weird game, yeah.
I think it was based in Vietnam or World War II or something like that. It was really
It had, like,
bad.
Some weird supernatural shit to it or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Was that one?
I'm not sure if it had supernatural stuff, but it was just a really, really, really...
Real mental game. Or something. It was weird.
It was a first-person shooter. It was, like, set in, like, world. It was either World War II or Vietnam. I can't remember. But it was real... I played for, like, 15 minutes at a buddy's house. I'm like, this is a terrible game. Let's go back to Halo.
Yeah. And there's some situations where you can totally see where that person came from. Because, like, if you play Oni in Halo, you'd never know that came from the Halo guys.
No.
You would never know.
But playing Marathon,
but like,
though, then you would be like, oh
yeah, you would totally know. And also, like, you know, when you play The Getaway and The Getaway 2, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, this is obviously from the L.A. Noire guys. So you can definitely tell it's the same. Yeah, The Getaway and L.A. Noire. It's Team Bond.
I did not know that they did L.A. or The Getaway game.
Yeah,
I thought that developer closed down.
They did.
Shit. And so they came back as Team Bonded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. That was them.
You dropping knowledge.
Whoa, like a ton brick.
And Square Enix and, Square Enix joined in 2003.
Okay, so that was...
So, it was PS2 era.
PS2.
Yeah,
but
that was...
But it was after Final Fantasy X, so I was wrong. Yeah, this is definitely not after the Super Nintendo Genesis era. For reals.
Well, something else is for real. We have a for real, another email coming up in here. Comes from Brad McKibben. He says, when I was 10 years old, I used some hard-earned garage sale money to buy a copy of this game that, to a 10-year-old, had a really cool-sounding title called Final Fantasy. From that point, for the next 13 years, I pounced on everything that had the Squaresoft / Square Enix label on it. I wonder sometimes what my teen years would have been like minus games like Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger. Then along comes Final Fantasy X-2, which I played for about 2 hours before my world where Square Enix was king came crashing down. At that point, Square Enix began to release a steaming pile after steaming pile. 8 years ago, a certain friend introduced me to what would become my own personal crack habit, Final Fantasy XI. Beyond that, I haven't touched a Square game for more than a couple of years. Every time I try to renew my love for Square, I end up licking off the frosting off a new game, only to realize that it's the same old dog turd underneath. Jeez. The only reason I buy Square Enix titles anymore is to go into Final Fantasy collections that I've amassed. Yeah. In summation, yes, I bought games purely because the developer, publisher, and still do, but the days when it was done blindly are long over. I've learned the painful lesson that just because something is made by your favorite developer does not mean it's made of gold. So wow, this is an email that I was waiting for. This is something that I was waiting for someone to just come out and say, just that it just doesn't work anymore doing this.
Yeah, I don't think it does really, because a lot of developers now are put on multiple projects,
right?
And you got like A team, B team, C team, and that jumps to like F team.
Mm-hmm.
a perfect example would be fucking Dead Island that came out not too long ago. The same developer, quote unquote, made Call of War as the newest one, which was supposed to be like a fucking big piece of shit. Same developer name, but totally like B team.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like, because now teams are huge. Teams are like hundreds of people. Well, I'm pretty sure the people who were in Skyrim is under 100 people, something like that. Some like crazy number.
Yeah.
It's like not that big, but that's an anomaly. But back in the day, like 16, like Genesis, Super Nintendo days, like a development team would be like, what, 12 people, if that?
Yeah, 12, 20, yeah.
Yeah, like not even. Like it would be like so low,
yeah.
And they can only work on one thing at a time. Where now it's like kind of, it's like Squaresoft, Square Enix. And then you get in the whole thing is, what's up, outsourcing? How you doing?
Yeah. That's the big thing nowadays. It's huge.
I have an idea. Let's outsource our boss fights. That's a good
one. I was just thinking of Deus Ex. The second I said that, which is just coincidental that it's also Square Enix.
Square Enix, right.
But they outsource their boss fights, which is really disappointing because that's Square's best game that they've put out.
That's the best
since
game
Final
they've
Fantasy
published.
10.
That's the best game they've published, and God knows, and they didn't even develop it.
The first time I saw outsourcing actually becoming like kind of an in-your-face thing was actually this generation with, I think it was BioShock 2, because they came out and said
developers.
Yeah, that like 2K Marin came in and did the
Digital Extremes.
They did that, and then Digital Extremes did the multiplayer was outsourced.
Yep.
And that's the first time that I can remember a developer coming out and saying, yes, this was done by a completely different team, not the main team that did the single player.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And actually, the multiplayer, I didn't hate it. I didn't have any like bad reactions off of outsourcing. But nowadays, you have these games that are coming out, every year. Assassin's Creed is a great example. As much as I love that series, the opening credits for Assassin's Creed Revelations
has like five teams.
It says, brought to you by Ubisoft Montreal.
Well,
Ubisoft,
dude,
Singapore. Ubisoft. And it's like,
as,
whoa,
dude, as
it's
a
like
publisher,
six...
Ubisoft is like
they're
totally
massive.
Done a 180. They used to, they're massive, but back in the day when you saw Ubisoft on a game, it was quality.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore. It's like you have to look at Ubisoft what? Montreal, Shanghai, like where this is coming from.
Yugoslavia, Bangladesh.
Lithuania. Like, Ubisoft Montreal is still
Ubisoft Roswell, Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I see Ubisoft Montreal was the developer, I'm like, oh, I am like paying attention because that's where it started. Those are the dudes that started everything.
Yeah.
Like, started Splinter Cell, started Assassin's Creed, like all those. And
yeah, those are the big
then,
dogs.
Like Ubisoft Toronto is doing the new Splinter Cell game. So we don't know what they're going to do. You said just like a bunch of people just did the new Assassin's Creed game. So I don't know. It's like I can't judge anymore. Just being like, Ubisoft, to the X developer, who knows what the fuck it's gonna be like. I'm still gonna read reviews and talk to you guys and talk to other people like in the community or whatever, listen to podcasts to find out if it's worth buying,
right,
for myself, because I can't do it anymore. Too many people involved. Too many hands in that pot.
So even if what's the guy who did the first God of War? What's his face?
Jaffe.
So Jaffe has Twisted Metal coming out.
I don't give a shit about Twisted
Metal. You don't give a shit, even though it's a hardcore Jaffe game.
No, not at all.
You're not even gonna touch it.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying I'm not gonna touch it. I just have no hype for it. Like calling
in
all
in reality, how much has Jaffe done? I mean,
he hasn't done a lot. He did
God of War.
Yes.
He like consulted
he
on God
Metal
of War
Black.
2 a little bit.
He did
Twisted Metal. He did Calling All Cars, and now he's doing the new Twisted Metal. I mean, besides that, I mean, do we know anything that he's worked on?
But he's hip and he's edgy and he curses in public,
he's
got to be a good developer.
Fucking, See, the thing is, as a designer, he bugs the shit out of me. Like, same with kind of like Cliffy B. Like, Cliffy B. Like, okay, I love the Gears of War games, but as them as developers in the public, like, oh, dude, like, just shut up and just make your games. Like,
Cliffy has got to give it to him. Cliffy, even though he is in the spotlight a lot, still, he has gotten a lot better.
Like, oh, for sure. He's done being a showman. Has been better.
Yeah.
And it's to do with mostly him and his design decisions. Whereas, like, Jaffe did, like, we did Twisted Metal. He did God of War, which is fantastic. He was, a co-director or designer for God of War 2, which it's still up in the air, like, no one really knows in public, but a lot of people say, Corey Balrog did most of that. Like, he just kind of, like, overlooked it, Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
arguably the best God of War game ever. And then 3, Jaffe had nothing to do with, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he's going back to, he did Calling All Cars, which was fun for a bit, but it was nothing, it wasn't God of War level.
Yeah, like, it wasn't anything spectacular.
No, and now he's bringing back Twisted Metal, and I'm sore, like, normally I'd be like, oh my god, like, okay, you, Sanaka, like, the guy from Sega, like, back in the day, I'm totally butchering his name, probably, that guy, like, did, like, Sonic, and, what's it called, Shenmue,
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff, like, back in the day, anything that guy touched, I'd be like, I'm buying it. But I can't relate to that with anybody right now, this gen, or even last gen, that could be like, oh man, this guy's involved, gonna get it for sure. Because
right.
I think it's mostly because of information highway, man, like the internet and everything. Like, you didn't have that much information back in the day. It was like magazines, and then when the game came out, word of mouth. Whereas now, you can pretty much know before a game releases if you're gonna be interested in it or not.
Pretty much.
Back then.
For the most part. But I still do have people, I mean, like companies that I'm really, really interested in, you know? Like, I have not been, historically, not been the biggest Devil May Cry fan. Like, I love Devil May Cry 1, and Devil May Cry 4 was kind of cool. But, like, I'm super hot, super hype over, you know, DMC that's coming out because it's Ninja Theory. Because I've been kind of on a hot streak.
See, that's weird because Devil May Cry 1 was made, the guy who does, I'm going to butcher his name too. I'm not even trying to say his name. But Shadows of the Damned.
Shinji Mikami?
Shinji Mikami.
Yeah,
He's the guy who, like, basically invented Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it's awesome,
but the first one. Then ever since then, he's pretty much been hands-off the entire series.
Right.
And then, but then it's still technically developed and published by Capcom. So, sorry, who's the dude you said? You said Shinji Mikami.
But, like, I'm just talking about Ninja Theory.
Ninja
in
Theory.
General. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, Ninja Theory, I mean, Shinji Mikami has nothing to do with Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
This is a new developer picking up a new IP to them.
Yeah.
And you're automatically being like, bam! Just because you loved Heavenly Sword and, what's it called?
And Enslaved, yeah.
Enslaved.
Yeah, I think they do good work. I think in terms of the storytelling they're going to be able to do and how well they're able to tell stories in their first two ventures, I think that the DMC has a chance to kind of, because you know me, like, I'm a story whore. So like, I think for Devil May Cry, I think that this lore, this IP is going to benefit from what they can do in terms of telling stories and building characters. I think we're going to see people are bitching about his hair and he's young and emo. I'll be honest with you. I honestly do believe that this is probably going to be the best story for Devil May Cry.
Ninja Theory is great for that stuff.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new trailer though? He's got white hair and some of it.
I didn't see that.
Flashes it in and out.
Oh,
you
nice.
You see him doing
nice.
Comics and all of a sudden he's got like, yeah, so I think it's going to be a transition, like, oh my god, dark hair cut to, so he gets his white hair, which will probably be ridiculous. I mean,
probably.
Yeah, but yeah, they're just someone like, hey, calm down, fanboys. I mean, we know what we're doing here. Don't worry.
Well, let's move on. I got a couple more points to make, but let's move on to the emails and everything, because I think they're going to touch on them as well.
Cool.
Hey guys, Zank the Gun back again with an answer to this week's question. Up until relatively recently, I probably wouldn't have bought games based solely on the developer. All the ones I'd been thinking about mentioning, like I was a big Sega fanboy as a kid, probably had less to do with me loving the developer and more that it's what was able to get my hands on. Now that I'm paying my own way into the gaming world, there are two developers that I always keep a special eye out for and will snatch up their games without a second thought. First, these is Team Ico. I own both special editions of the original Ico and Shadow of the Colossus and the recent HD remakes were a day one purchase for me. and I'll be the first in line when the last Guardian hits, whenever that ends up being. Secondly is Platinum Games. I didn't purchase Bayonetta straight away, but ended up getting it for 15 euro a few months afterwards. That's like Microsoft points, right? Euro?
Euro?
Like fake money, right?
It's the same thing. Yeah,
it's the same thing, right. Real. It's the same rate.
I'm with you, man. Euros are cool.
Yeah. I was completely blown away by what some dismissed as Devil May Cry knockoffs. Bayonetta, to me, is a better game in every single way.
True,
since
agreed.
Then,
high
all
five.
Their games had been day one buys, and Anarchy Reigns looked like it's going to be a blast. I'm so glad they delayed it from the November barrage of AAA titles, as my wallet is barely scraping through as is. And as always, keep up the good work, Sanctin Gun.
I feel you on the wallet. I feel you on the wallet comment.
Well,
if his two like main go to titles are Platinum Games. Okay, Platinum Game puts out a game a year.
That's okay.
But dude, if you're worried about money, if you're worried about not spending too much money, Team Eco is the developer to follow because they put out a game every
shit for a long time.
Yeah, so you pick
they only put out
two games per generation. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
they're still working on the first one. This one,
he nailed mine. One of my, I was gonna say, like, I don't have too many now, but if there's one I would follow and buy, it's Platinum Games.
They're awesome.
Platinum is, I mean, everything they make is really good.
Dude, like Bayonetta, fucking amazing. What's it called? Vanquish.
Yeah, Vanquish is awesome.
I will say, out of all the videos I've seen of the new one, I'm not really impressed yet. I want to see more of it. But Anarchy Reigns.
Yeah. Anarchy Reigns does something really cool that I've never seen a game do before, though. It has nothing to do necessarily with...
Because to me, it looks like generic character action game to me.
Well, actually, it does something really cool with the character action game, as is it actually takes a main character from another game and puts him in a different IP.
What game? What's that?
What was that Wii game? It was black and white. And you were
Mad World?
Mad World, yeah. It's the main character from Mad World. That's you and Anarchy Reigns. Yeah, that's your character there. I've never seen a game do that
there's
before.
There's different characters.
There's two main characters, I think. Two or three.
Oh, okay.
I think two. One of the main characters is the guy from Mad World, yeah.
Cool.
It's interesting, yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And then when I found out that there's a possibility, it's not confirmed yet, that Konami turned over Metal Gear Rising to Platinum, all of a sudden my interest peaked from like, meh, to, oh my god, I need to see new fucking gameplay footage.
Yeah, that'd be
Wait, they
cool.
did?
It's rumored. It's apparently I guess we might find out during the Spike Awards or something like that. But it's rumored that Konami, like Kojima, was like, yeah, we're actually giving the game over to Platinum Games to do.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Freaking rad. They got that character action stuff down pat. Like,
man, Vanquish is such a good game.
Yeah,
Vanquish is amazing. Such a good Bayonetta game. Is still one of my favorite games.
Yeah, Bayonetta was fantastic
so
too.
All right. Well, Mike Strife is going to add on to the conversation, saying, "For the question of the week, there are quite a few developers or game designers that I'll get anything they put out. I generally don't like to follow games I'm interested in because I like to be surprised when I get a new game. But that means I get burned once in a while. Even though I like to own games from the same developer or creator, for collection purposes, so I usually don't now. Plus, sometimes a developer just has a wicked track record, and you can be sure of what you're getting. To pay some respects to the past, if they were still around, I'd be getting anything that Working Designs put out. A fucking man.
Thank you. That's one of mine.
But the thing is, okay, I gotta call it. Isn't that more of a publisher thing?
Well, we said developer
or publisher.
They were both.
Because they didn't. Yeah, go ahead.
They really understood packaging and special editions long before anyone else, and everything they put out was great or at least interesting.
I'm sorry. I don't care what special editions have come out. People still haven't mastered what Working Designs has done.
No, because they weren't special editions. They were the regular editions that regular price for. And
that was day one
like
stuff.
Like foil covers and everything. And
full
like
color manuals, straight up just like... Mm-hmm. All kinds
behind
of
the scenes,
Omake
DVDs,
boxes
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Awesome. And I guess, hey, what's up? Skyrim has a full color manual. Just saying.
Yeah.
And a kick ass map.
Yeah, the map is awesome. It is really cool.
Anyway, back to Working Designs.
Mike Strife comes back and says, "I did the same for Treasure for quite a while."
Yes, me too. High five, Mike.
Including that awful stretch panic game. Currently, I'm more following creators than studios and will pick up anything by Shinji Mikami, Suda51, or Hideo Kojima. I guess there's several studios I also do this for, but I don't really think about... Well, let me start that over. I guess there's several studios I do this for, but hats I don't really think about like BioWare. I would have said Bethesda 2, but then they started publishing some crappy games as well, I can't really say that anymore. Yeah. I think it's getting rare to find a dedicated team with the freedom...
Hey, speaking of rare...
Wow, that was brilliant, Jeff. I think it's getting rare to find a dedicated team with the freedom to only work on what they love. But those are the kinds of developers I bet we see in most of the responses this week. Later, Mike Strife. God, that rare comment got me, Jeff. Okay, guys, we have a GoldenEye. We struck gold, man. We literally struck gold, no pun intended. What are we going to do next?
Right, no, Rare was awesome during the 64 and like Super Nintendo days. And then they got bought by Microsoft.
No, it was way before that, dude. Okay, with the N64, they did right. They had that Perfect Dark. The first Perfect Dark was good.
No, it starts on the Super Nintendo. They did like Donkey Kong Country.
No. Well, they did like Banjo.
They did Killer Instinct.
But then they did like Banjo Kazoo, like toward the end.
That was, dude, Banjo Kazooie.
That was
360.
That was
64.
Oh, that was 64. Okay, yeah, so it was the 64 era. It was during the 64 era, because that's when Rare started going...
What was that sci-fi one?
Rare did start going batshit insane.
It was when Microsoft bought them. They turned to crap.
So that was
it was when Microsoft bought them.
So that was the Microsoft era?
Grabbed by the Ghoulies was like, that was like, Microsoft just... Grabbed by the Ghoulies was a game being made for Nintendo 64. Microsoft bought them, so they ended up making it for Xbox. And that was like a very mediocre,
it was terrible decision after terrible decision. I got an idea, guys. Let's have a very adult-oriented game about a squirrel who curses a lot. It has a lot of adult pop culture.
That was 64.
What system were we going to put it on? N64.
That was a great game at the time.
It was a terrible system to put it on.
Oh, of course.
I agree.
Why would they put it on
But that's not their fault. That the game is still good. Then whether or not
it was just ridiculous.
On, was
hey guys, I got another idea about a game. It's about a bird, a bear, and a backpack. Let's call it Banjo Kazooie.
That game sold really well, man. I don't know. Like you might not like those games, but I called it downfall of Rare when Microsoft bought them. Oh, that's when it went downhill.
Yeah, because like, they said, "Hey guys, let's make Perfect Dark really shitty. Let's do that. Yeah. That's a good idea."
Well, I mean, arguably, some people really like Viva Pinata. Viva Pinata. Viva Pinata.
Crystal loves that game.
Apparently, Banjo-Kazooie: Nuts and Bolts, if you actually put the time, is pretty good. But
some people like incest with animals.
Well, they don't have the reputation they had. Like back in the day, if a game was made by Rare, you bought it no matter what.
Yeah,
it was like it's gonna be fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm getting it.
I honestly was
envious because I didn't have any systems that played Rare games at the time. So I was like, I remember every time I played, I'm like, oh my god, these games are so good.
I don't think I own a game from Rare.
Oh really?
Yeah.
They were. You don't have.
How do you not have a Rare game?
I don't. No. I. The only time I played GoldenEye was in the game store I worked at.
Oh wow.
So I never bought that. I never
Donkey
played
Donkey Kong Country.
I played them at the store. I never bought them.
Hmm.
So. Huh. Yeah. I don't think I own a Rare game.
Wow.
I never bought the. Well, wait. I might have bought Killer Instinct for the N64. I mean the.
Super
Nintendo, yeah.
Ultra.
Well, Mike said something else, too, that I want to comment on, but I totally freaking forgot. It's gonna bug that
he did mention Working Designs, so he automatically...
Yeah, no, it was Treasure. That's what it was.
Treasure, yeah.
Because Treasure was, like, back in the day, with, like, Gunstar Heroes,
such a great game, Gunstar Heroes.
Alien Soldier. Those games were so good.
But hard games.
They were really hard.
My support for Working Designs goes past owning one copy because I mean I've been buying the games that that come out on
the re-releases
on PSN as well. Yeah, so Vanguard Bandits, I'm gonna go on because you know I mentioned that I think last week.
But
I'm gonna go on and get that.
But to be fair though, these are all re-releases, though, right?
Yeah.
So there's stuff that like that you already know is good. They're just gonna re-release it or whatever.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything new in a while, though.
No. Working Designs.
They're gone. They've been done for like 10 years or something.
That
like
said, I would buy anything that had Gajanworks on it because that's where Victor Island went.
Yes.
Because he made Gajanworks, but they haven't really done anything. They did localization for, Miami something or rather. It was a DS game. It was like a DS crime game, and I can't remember what it's called.
Mm.
That's so funny.
But
You can always tell a Sega fanboy or the guy who likes Sega games if they liked working designs, because that was the answer to Square back in the day.
It really was.
Oh, for like the Sega CD day.
Sega CD, Saturn, like Genesis, Sega CD anything, and Saturn. Like, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Sega CD and Saturn. Like, it was always like, oh, I got Final Fantasy, whatever. Yeah, well, you know what? I got Albert Odyssey. What the fuck's up, bitch?
Lunar, bitch.
But no one's. Yeah, Lunar. Like no one. But the thing is, everyone's like, what? What? What are those games? That's kind of sad. But because no one.
Miami Law.
Sega Saturn.
That's what it's called.
Ah, okay.
Miami Law. It came out for the DS, and it was them and Hudson that put it together. It was.
I know who didn't play that game, right?
No, who did? That's the question.
He mentioned Kojima as well. What? Okay. Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Okay, good point. Good point. Okay, because they
did
something.
Kojima did not have anything to do with that game.
Hey,
no,
he
put his name on it.
And they put it in the back of the box. It's on the back of the box.
And he presented it like being like, oh, I'm all, you know, look at Lords of Shadow. That was kind of like, I mean, I like the Lords of Shadow.
That was a cheap buy-in right there. That's what it
was. That
was
more like, let's put this guy's name on it. Just, you know, for the hell of it.
Get a few thousand Metal Gear fans up in this joint.
So I'm gonna mess him up and be like, dude, did you buy Lords of Shadow just because of Kojima? I'm gonna mess him right now, actually. but that's something that would be like, well, at what point does it become whoring it out? Being like, hey, you know what? Not everything they touch is gonna be gold anymore.
Right. Because
now it's just like, the name's known, publisher's like, oh, you know what? Just say you came and looked at the game, we'll count that as being a producer. Because that's basically what producing games are these days.
Right.
Hey, I saw the game and thought, hey, it's cool. You should do this. All right, cool. Hey, you're a producer. Awesome. Good stuff.
Well, you guys have any other publishers or developers that you follow?
I do.
Okay.
None of them are old. Like, I used to buy anything that was, like, Capcom, not so much anymore, like, back in the day. I'll say there's one publisher that's totally done a 180 on me, and that's THQ. Because they used to be crap back in like the 16-bit era.
Yeah, but you don't buy everything they put out, right?
Terrible. I mean, I don't buy everything they put out, but every single game minus the wrestling games, and I'm interested in wrestling, I read about and like
it's on your radar, basically.
I would buy Saints Row if I had the money, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, they've done nothing but good stuff for the most part for the last, I'd say, 5 or so years.
Yeah, they've been on my radar. I mean, especially the games they make have been on my radar since Red Faction Guerrilla, around that time when that came out. I was like, yep, they're going to be kind of on my light. And they're doing a lot of good things, man. They're making a lot of really cool decisions. One of the latest ones that I did, in terms of marketing for their games and everything, at Pound Vegas, dude, like, they had the biggest impression off of anybody. They had great set pieces. Everybody was in costume for the game that they were promoting. They just really busted their ass to show that they're really into their titles. And, you know, on top of that, just little things like how they're promoting it. They've given us at work great promotional items for the games, you know, especially Saints Row, because it's if anything, their biggest release this year. To little things like, you know, the strategy guide they put out. They give you a little carrot to dangle in front of your face for the strategy guides. Because, like, every strategy guide, you get free DLC, like free cars and free weapons and everything.
That's
little things like that. Like, I love that. And it's the same price.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's awesome.
No one's also done that before.
Yeah, I just noticed that the other day. I was like, wow, you get DLC just for buying a strategy guide. And it's the same price, a $19.99 strategy guide. It's no difference in price than anything else that you would buy that didn't have it.
Very cool.
Yeah, so up the big ups to THQ.
I will say BioWare is probably one of mine. This gen.
Mine
is Dragon Age 2. But I think I've bought in every BioWare game this generation.
You getting Star Wars?
Last generation. I'm not getting Star Wars as of now. I might. Who knows? I'm not going to buy it just because of them. Just because I don't believe it's their true project right now. I think it's kind of like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's still Mass Effect. Like, that's, like, their big thing.
Well, again, it's different teams, too, because, I mean...
I should say, yeah.
Yeah, it's different teams.
I should say BioWare Edmonton.
Yeah.
That's the team that's, like, I follow. That's, like, the National Republic, the Jade Empire, Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, like, those guys, and Dragon Age, the first one. Like, those games, like, yeah, if it's made by them, hell yeah, for sure.
Right.
But...
Anything else?
Chris? No, I think that's it for me, really. I can't really think of one that I buy no matter what.
Well, we kind of touched on Working Designs already, and they're defunct now. So, I actually have the, and people who have listened to the show for a long time know this, but I have every game that Working Designs ever published, all the way back to the TurboGrafx.
Yeah, it's an impressive collection. If anyone has not seen it, it's really impressive.
Yes.
I guess the only other one really, and this is more of it's kind of like more of a guideline than anything. It's like I know that I want to play to have their games and play them, but I don't always get them day one, and that would be Level 5. I love the shit that they do, and we joke about White Knight Chronicles all the time, but that game was really fun for me. And
everyone shits a stinky wizard once.
That's right. But Dragon Quest IX was incredible.
Awesome.
Dragon Quest X I will probably end up getting, even though I don't really want it as an MMO.
Oh, True Fantasy Live? Awesome.
Oh yeah, that would have been great if it came out, huh? Rogue Galaxy is one of my favorite RPGs of all time. It's
so
just
good.
A fantastic game. I guess that they were probably really the closest. Outside of that, I mean, I'd like to say BioWare, but it's like I bought Dragon Age and played like an hour of it and never touched it again. And right now it's just like, for BioWare, it's like all about Mass Effect, and that's all I really care about.
Actually, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure the Dragon Age team and the Mass Effect team are separate.
I would probably bet on that.
Yeah, probably so. Because I don't think Casey Hudson has any. I haven't seen him, Casey Hudson, pimp anything Dragon Age
before.
But yeah, that's it for me. So
that's it for you.
Yeah.
For me, it's more or less like on a publishing side of it. Atlas is always on my radar, especially after the last couple of years. Atlas will forever be on my radar.
But have you bought everything?
The majority of things, everything Atlas almost this year,
except for
the Cursed Crusade, I bought from Atlas.
So you bought Catherine and what else did they put out this year?
You're gonna name me? I'm looking at my. I'm
pretty sure that's it.
I'm looking at my.
They didn't do Dark Souls.
He's looking at his collection of empty boxes on his wall.
I probably traded it in for something else though. Who knows?
But I
bought it.
Just the disc.
But I got you. I got what you're saying. Yeah.
Definitely Atlas is definitely one. But other than that, like it mainly goes down to
I think Atlas
to actually independent like I guess developers themselves, like the personal developers, like. Shinji Mikami is always a winner. I'm really, really hoping we get Last Story because I will follow Hironobu Sakaguchi to the depths of hell.
Dude, did you listen to last week's show? Because that's apparently coming to Europe. So
yeah, I did hear that. But I'm not gonna get my hopes up yet. I want actual.
But if it comes out
word.
In the UK, man, I'm all over that. I'm all over that.
And from here on out, anything. Casey Hudson and the whole Mass Effect team, they do wonders. But of course, if this generation has got me hooked on one developer, it's Todd Howard. It's Todd Howard. Anything Todd Howard puts his hands I will definitely follow from here on out. Even if he changes genres and doesn't do the open world thing anymore, he wants to venture into something else. Kart racers, I don't care.
Dude.
I'll give Todd Howard a shot.
People will give Blasphemous whatever, but Ken Levine was put on the map for me this generation.
Yeah, Ken Levine. And especially
fucking awesome, and I can't wait for
Infinite looks really, really good. Yeah. I think that's going to be probably
really
one of the better titles. It's going to be one of those games it comes out February, March. It comes out February, March, and we're going to be talking about it up until September, October. It's going to be one of those games.
The important thing is that we'll be talking about it in December when we're talking about Game of the Year.
Let's hope so, because that game looks something special.
That's what's important.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dude, I will. Fuck, you know what? I'll throw Rocksteady up there.
Yeah. Rocksteady.
I will. Anything they put out at this point, I'm like, it's going to be fucking awesome. If they can make a licensed game like Batman a Game of the Year candidate, they can do anything.
Twice they did it.
I'm going to tell you what, man. Batman is not an easy superhero
to
make into a game.
Yeah,
it is not.
There are
too many variables.
They nailed it so well, though. Nailed it so well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Cool.
All right, are we good?
That's good.
I think
man.
So.
All right, yeah. Let's do some new releases and then we can start wrapping up. So next week coming out, not a whole lot. All the good shit's already come out, guys. So WWE 12, Tekken Hybrid, KOF 13, and there's some downloadable content coming out next week. Let's see. Same shit for 360, as well as
what was the downloadable content for?
Let's see. PS3 had the Robin bundle pack.
Oh, I didn't realize they're gonna go through like everything. Okay, no. Yeah. I thought you meant like for a specific game. There's like some cool DLC coming out.
No. It's it's like Robin bundle pack is. I think some of us already have that, right? Didn't it come included in a pre-order?
No, well, it came in. Well, no. Like you had to wait until it's released, though.
But it's still you still got it.
Though. Oh no, I
still got it.
I was able to download it.
Did you play it?
I haven't tried. No, I actually haven't tried to play it
because it's not available.
Because I'm pretty sure it's not available.
It's not available yet. Yeah, you gotta wait. So.
Him and the Nightwing dude.
Maybe I just got the skin then. I don't know.
As you were.
As I was. Let's see. 360 is also getting National Geographic Challenge. And Hole in the Wall Deluxe Edition.
Oh,
that's
fantastic. Sounds sexy.
Hole in the Wall really?
Deluxe
Edition. Is that like Glory Hole Special?
With Kinect.
Yeah, oh, God.
yesterday, you might have gotten your hands on Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, if you're listening to this on Monday. Let's see. Again, on Wii is WWE 12, Get Up and Dance, Jaws Unlimited, Predator.
WWE 12, Get Up and Dance?
WWE 12, Get Up and Dance.
Oh, really?
Wow, they're really combining those two.
Wow.
John Cena, like, doing the jig. can't see me.
Jaws Ultimate Predator, Power Rangers Samurai, Fishing Resort, National Geographic Challenge.
Wait.
You
is that Power Rangers Fishing
fast.
Resort?
Power Rangers Samurai Fishing Resort. That's what it is.
Oh, wait, are the Power Rangers samurais?
Samurai fish?
It's Samurai Fishing Resort.
Oh, okay. That's awesome, actually.
It's that's Samurai Fishing. Cool. You're actually fishing for a samurai.
Did Mikami do that one, too?
and Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine. I think I've mentioned that before, and it didn't come out. So don't take that with a grain of salt. For 3DS, Sonic Generations Nano Assault. WWE All-Stars.
Okay, now I'm actually asking this actually legitimately. Was that Sonic Generations Nano Assault? Because it's for 3DS. I figured it might have a different subtitle.
Nano Assault is a shmup. Sonic Generations is Sonic Generations.
You mean to slow the fuck down?
No. It's more fun this way. Are you kidding? This is awesome. Let's see. Carnival Games, Wild West 3D, and Face Racers Photo Finish. And
that
the PSP is getting Corpse Party next week, apparently. So
Corpse Party?
Corpse Party.
Corpse Party.
Corpse Party,
for the,
yes.
For the 3DS? Yeah,
no, for PSP.
Or PSP.
Yes.
Okay.
That
party.
Is your
it's like
new
a necrophilia's dream.
So, pick
Corpse
of the
Party.
Week. Dude, are you drunk, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Like I said, I should have freaking eaten something before recording tonight. I knew that was a big mistake.
You know what? Just because of the fact that it's a whole new engine and they're starting from scratch, I would say WWE 12. I want to see where they're going to go with this new iteration.
I thought you were going to go with King of Fighters 13.
Why?
New engine. Oh, you said new engine and whatever. I thought that's what you were going to go with. But
Jeff, what about you?
I'm going with Zelda.
Yeah, I'm going with Zelda,
great.
Oh, Zelda's
news.
Part of this week? I thought Zelda was last week.
Yeah, we didn't really mention it last week because, you know.
Oh, fuck wrestling, Zelda.
Because Nintendo likes to be
Zelda's.
Different and release their games on fucking Sunday.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually see it.
It's getting great reviews, but I got a pass on it. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I will
it's
say
3D,
this.
It's 3D, man.
I will
3D.
Say this, and I'm not, before I get thrashed like the dude who reviewed it. I'm not saying I agree with everything this dude said, but the guy that reviewed it on GameSpot, he gave the game a 7.5, and he's getting thrashed for it.
Oh, of course he is.
But one of the things that he mentioned is one of the things that I was talking about that I noticed at E3 2012, or 2010, 2012. I'm visiting
from 2012. Awesome. You're in the future.
That's right. But like just how it wasn't very, the controls weren't very responsive as far as the sword play and stuff like that. So he mentioned a lot of that. So I'm a little bit worried about that portion. But all the other reviews say it's fine. So, you know, I think it's just kind of Waggle Advanced. And that's what my worry is. You know, because at E3, I was being very precise with my motions and stuff like that. And I think that this is just going to end up being like Twilight Princess 2, where it's just Waggle Advance. But I guess
I've read stuff and heard stuff that where it's not like that. You can't waggle it. It's got to be really. It's got to be precise. But I guess I don't know. Different lighting.
I guess I'll find out in a couple days.
Just try it. So. Yeah.
But cool. All right. Let's get moving on. We got any emails?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a couple. This first one comes from Eric Melkevich. He says, "Hey guys, quick question. Did you ever get the iToy in America? It was the camera for the PS2, which enabled controller-free motion gaming and sold, according to Wikipedia, 10 million units. When the Kinect was hyped as the second coming, no one seemed to notice that it was basically the same thing as the iToy."
It's not.
Yeah, it's...
It's the same concept.
It's the same concept, but it's different. It's like going from... It's like Wii controls pre-Motion Plus to the Move. It's like... It's the same concept. Yes, it's picking up your motion, but it doesn't pick up depth or any kind of three dimensions. So it's basically the camera is picking up changes in contrast to make stuff react on the screen.
Right.
It's not really picking up motion or any kind of like...
Well, it picks up motion, but it's picking up motion in a 2D plane, not a 3D space.
Exactly. In the 2D plane, it's a change of contrast. So it's not, you're actually like hand going up. Like you could put anything up in that area or like any kind of thing that changes something, like wave a blanket or whatever, it's going to hit. Like it's, I'm trying to think of like, because all the games that I played with the iToy was like just wave your hands like a freak, which is pretty much like Kinect.
Yeah,
but it's basically
so where are you going with this, Jeff?
Everything's on a 2D plane, pretty much everything. So it's not really, if you move forward or back from the screen, it's not going to have any different effect on what's happening.
Right.
So I see where he's going from. It's like, yeah, it's like same concept, but it's kind of like a evolution of the technology. As I said, the best way to put it is like, it's like the Wii with that Motion Plus to the Move.
Right.
It's like, it's the same
Did
concept.
You have one, though? That was the question.
Oh, God, no.
I didn't have one either.
I worked at a GameStop while this was launched, and we hardly sold any of them.
Right.
So the fact that he said it sold 10 million worldwide is mind-boggling to me.
Well, maybe you guys were terrible salesmen.
Maybe.
That is possible.
Did you have one, Travis?
No, hell no.
What the fuck?
All right, one more email, guys. Come from Jack Bawa, our man in Bhutan. He says, with all the games that have come out these last weeks, why do publishers think it's a good idea to release their AAA game so close to the rest of them? Is it just the ego of the publisher thinking that people would prefer to buy their game over another? Would it be better for some games to be released closer to or after Christmas when people have gifts to buy and Christmas gift money burning a hole in their pockets?
Oh, my God.
From Jack Bauer. P.S. How about that Skyrim, eh? I feel bad for who gassing it now. Turns out, it's okay.
Well, I can tell you one of the reasons that it happens here in the U.S., and that's because the biggest shopping day of the year is the day after Thanksgiving, so they try and get all their games out.
It's got to be out by then.
Yeah,
but the problem is there's 15 games that are out before then that are competing on Black Friday.
And guess what? They all go on sale and people buy them.
Yeah, it's still if every game goes on sale, what are people gonna buy? Like Modern Warfare 3 for $40 or Rayman Origins for $40?
Yeah,
Rayman Origins for sure.
I would.
Without a doubt, I would.
Yeah,
but
I'm lying because I bought Modern Warfare. So.
No, I know you did. Yeah.
It's all about the holidays. They're trying to get in before the holidays.
The worst
thing is that like literally December is empty. I mean, there's like nothing coming out in December.
It's Skyrim month, basically.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be for me. I'm going to be catching up on Skyrim. That's it. You know,
probably the same here. I don't know, man. They need to take more advantage of early, like I guess actually January and February are looking kind of big for next year.
Yeah, and that's
maybe like March.
But dude, for these like Rayman, like okay, you know what, Rayman Origins, I'm sorry, like the game's really good from what I played, delay that shit, even if it's already done, wait until the summer of next year.
Not even that. No, 2 weeks. Like, put it in December. It's fine.
Do you think 2 weeks would be
that? I would put it in December.
2 weeks. December.
December is empty, dude.
And don't make it a $60 title.
Hey, no, that's true. How about this? I'll give you the PS3 for the month of December. You ready? All right. Yeah. Week of November 27th, nothing. Week of December 4th, Adventures of Tintin and Just Dance 3. The next week, Assassin's Creed Revelation Character Pack. The next week, nothing. The next week.
Let's see.
The next week they just everything that doesn't actually have a date in 2011, they just throw it in there. Mm-hmm. So it's.
But I see games like Modern Warfare and Skyrim and whatever having legs, like Uncharted legs through the holiday season. Like Rayman Origins, again, like Rayman's kind of like a. I wouldn't say dead, but the original Rayman concept hasn't been in a video game form in a long time.
It's been since PS2, right?
Why not eat, like, you know what, the game's done? Wait until the summer where all these holiday releases have lost their steam, everyone's already bought the game, and put the game out when everyone's waiting for something new, anything. Dude, I bought El Shaddai. That is a game I would never, ever, ever buy.
And you had fun
regularly.
With it too.
I didn't mind it. I was like, I thought it was okay, but I would never even think of buying that game
if it was
during
November.
A holiday release period.
No way.
Exactly.
No
because
way.
When it came out, I was craving something different, something new. That's why I bought it. If they would have been like, you know what? Let's just delay it and just release it in this month. Yeah, sure, we can wait a couple weeks where there's nothing being released, but still, I don't know. I think the other games have too much legs to give it a shot. That game's going to tank.
You have a good point. I'm not going to argue that.
Ugh. Play it. Anywho.
But that's it. That's all we have for emails. Any VMs or anything, Chris?
Any questions?
We got some.
No VMs.
Let's set up some Indus questions really quick because we got a couple. Do we have VMs? Do we have any voicemails?
No.
All right, so we'll go right up to Indus questions. We got Better Tomorrow. Jeff BW says, what's one game you really wish you would finish, but know you never will?
Oh, wow. fucking Blank Souls. Demon Souls or Dark Souls.
Is he saying just this year?
No.
He's just saying in general, I think, ever.
Ever? Okay, because I would have put Dark Souls into this year, because there's no way I'm going to be able to beat that by the end of the year.
I'm going to say any Zelda game. Any Zelda game. Or Final Fantasy VI.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
Travis.
Zelda.
Self-thinking?
Zelda's an easy one, because I know I'm gonna buy that fucking Zelda day one, and I'm gonna hate it because it's not top down.
It's up Dark Side.
It's a vicious cycle. It happens every time I buy it day one, and I just don't like it.
Jack Bauer replies to Better Tomorrow on Twitter, which I think is a brilliant answer, and I think it probably will be true. He says, fast forward a month with that question, the answer will be Skyrim.
Hell yeah, it will.
I like the way he's thinking, because it might be true. Naushin writes in, he says, is it ironic that Activision, so far at least, is the only big company that hasn't adapted an online pass like everyone else?
They're not doing an online pass, but they're doing that. They're doing kind of like the season pass. It's called. You're seeing that a lot now. Like when a game comes out, they say, "Hey, $29.99, buy it flat out. It's all the DLC that comes out in the game in the future. It's all the map packs." And they're doing that with Call of Duty Elite.
True.
So they're kind of so it's not like mandatory thing. So it is different than this.
I think it's totally different because you can still buy the used game and play it online.
Yeah. Yes, you can, and you can absolutely do that. But they are still like. They're still making a lot more money.
I think his question, though, is another question is, because, like, EA, all these games are, like, all these other publishers that put out the online pass, even though some of them come with DLC, come with whatever, if you buy the game used, you gotta pay an extra $10 just to pay that online. Whereas, any Activision game, don't have to do it yet. Like, you can literally buy Modern Warfare tomorrow used, and not have to pay anything to play the game online. Whereas every other online pass, that's what you have to do. Like, I don't think he's talking about, like, season passes, like Elite or the Gears of War.
No, and I agree. I know he's not talking about that, but they're still employing something. It's not like they're just sitting idly on their, with their thumbs up their asses. They're still doing something. Okay. And it's either one of, you won't see a company, I'm trying to think, you won't see a company do, Well, you know what? I would say you wouldn't see an online a company do a season pass and an online pass, but I'm wrong because Uncharted's doing that. Of all the games that are doing that, it's Uncharted doing that's doing an online.
Well, every
pass.
Sony exclusive is going to have the online pass from here on.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They have a season pass as well.
Yeah, there's a season pass on there. I mean,
but
it, to
but,
me,
but,
I'm
go back
just,
to his
just,
basic thing. Don't you think that's kind of ironic, though?
No, it is ironic. It is ironic. But then when I look at the numbers and I read Kotaku and it says that even with, I know I'm going back to it, but this is just going to my point that I think they understand that they know that they do not need it because they know people are going to buy that game, whether it's Neoprion, and they're going to buy the map packs. Because it's just, Call of Duty is crack that way. The game is so addictive and it does such a good job of like dangling that carrot in front of your head to get you going and going and going that when all your friends are playing that map and they do it on purpose because if you don't have that map pack and your friends do and you're in a party together, it shows your name in red and it says, this guy doesn't have the maps.
That's the same with Halo.
Yeah. And it's
but could you imagine, like, because Activision easily could put an online pass on this. Easily. And
easily.
They'll still make that much more money. But the good thing is Activision has that reputation right now to be money grubbing, like we're only in it for the money, but they're not doing an online pass, and they could easily do it on
they
top of it. On top of everything, and be like, "Here's $10 more you have to pay to play this game online when you buy it used," and they're not doing it. Which, as much as I hate to say it, good for them. I don't know, you know, whatever.
Yeah, good point.
But when you make $775 million in 5 days,
and let's add the $30 million that of the 600,000 coming from the 600,000 Call of Duty Elites that they sold.
Oh God!
That is 100% profit.
Oh, yeah, that's
pretty much
pure profit. Pretty
that's,
much. It's all
I
stat
mean,
tracking,
it's,
man.
Yeah, that's like, it, fuck. Man. That's crazy.
Cool. Big C 3, he writes in and says, what is the most interesting / amusing thing on your resume?
Probably interactive distractions.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, actually, at this point.
Yeah, I would
probably
say so.
Interactive
distractions. Because interactive distractions has nothing to do with my career. So it's like, I have like all these like technical skills and all this development jargon and like all these like different titles that have to do with IT and then interactive distractions, podcast hosts and like founder
exactly.
And all this
that?
Other crap. So,
yep. That's, that's probably the same as me. Actually.
Absolutely.
Biff Sticks writes in and says, what is the worst gift you receive from a wedding / couples gift?
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to offend too many people because I'm pretty sure a lot of people like give to these kind of things aren't listening, so.
Wedding gift.
And wedding gift or any kind of like it could be anything like wedding gift, like baby shower.
I got a set of we got a set of like plates, like a mm-hmm. a table setting set, I guess. I don't even know what you would call it.
Okay.
That like china.
It's like this nasty ass. Yeah, I guess it's china if you want to call it that. I wouldn't give it that much credit,
like
but
worth something.
But it was like this nasty ass like yellow color that didn't really fit with anything that we've got in this house, and yeah, my wife saw it and she's like, "Can we return that?" It wasn't on our registry or anything, you know. It's like they just go out and got it, so whatever.
Travis,
I'm trying to think. It's been so long since I got married.
Yeah, I can't even answer this question. So,
like, I was trying. We didn't do anything without trying. Like, we actually we did, you know, register for it, and we got 3 out of 4 sets, so we could never put the china on the table.
You never got your plus 20%
yes,
set.
I guess not. So we the full. Oh, I see. Skyrim joke.
Yeah.
So we never got the full set, so we just kept them like in our in like a cabinet for the whole time. So we decided to just trade it in, and we got our juicer. So it turned into one of the best gifts one can get.
You still using it?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, not juicer, but if you were to like brew a brand of coffee, what would you brew at home? Also by Biff Sticks. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't brew anything at home.
Yeah, I like a lot. I drink a lot of coffee, but I just stick with the commercial stuff, to be honest with, like Folgers
Tentley.
Or whatever.
Folgers.
Like I just stick with the commercial stuff. I don't do anything. I don't like grind my own beans or anything like that.
I have done that before, but I usually don't. I actually don't have coffee in my house. Mm-hmm. I just drink coffee at work.
Yeah. Chris and I are kind of the same, though. Too. Like, straight black, right? You still do the straight black coffee,
absolutely.
Chris? Yeah, me too.
That's funny coming in from Travis.
What do you mean?
By the way, what race are you in, Sarah?
What race? Jess might get fun of me because I had a white human imperial, blonde hair, blue eyes. It's about as pure as you can get, man. I'm not going to be no dirty Argonian or anything like that. Elves with their Akatosh and their Talos. Get out
elves
of here.
Elves are awesome.
Shit.
Shut up. All right. Dark Bauer. Last one.
Wow, a lot of Indus questions.
It's the last one for Indus questions. He says, hypothetically speaking, would you date someone with the same name as your sister / mom? He says mum.
Mum. Yeah, I don't think that would bother me any.
No, I don't think so.
Even in the throes, like just calling out her name?
No, because like my sister has a really common name. So like growing up, like I had a bunch of girls like that I talked to and speak to that have the same name as my sister. That's Jennifer. I mean, who doesn't know like a billion Jens or whatever? So it's like,
what's your mom's name?
My mom's name's different because my mom's name's Gail, and I only know one other person.
Oh,
that
Gail.
It's like Gail.
Oh, Gail.
But even still, yeah. It'd be like, and like, really, I don't call my mom Gail. So unless the girl's name was Mom, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't.
I don't call my mom Marie, so it's not an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Mom.
Yeah, Mom. At that point, I'd be like, I meant to reconsider.
And I don't have a sister, so I can't comment on that.
No, I don't think so. Actually, to be honest, little Gail, because I've only literally met one or maybe two people with that same name, I think automatically I think of my mom when I hear the name Gail. Jennifer, not so much. Not at all, actually. Yeah. So.
What's
your name?
Sis.
Oh, shit. Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Freud was right.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's move on. Before we get to question of the week, let's put out a little reminder that we have a contest going on for the month of November.
We do, actually.
Well, I still haven't received my special edition of Uncharted, but when I do, the winner of the contest will get my copy of Uncharted. And the contest
fuck it, if you
is...
don't get it, I'll give away mine because I don't think I'm going to do anything with it. So
the contest is tell us. Well, actually, I guess we should start by saying, tell Jason why he's wrong about Uncharted, or tell us why we're wrong, if you agree with Jason.
Yes.
Send those in just like you would any other email, and label it Uncharted Contest, and we'll read those on the air in a few weeks.
Cool.
All right, question of the week.
Question of the week.
I got one. If it's not good, we can just cut this out. But the first email of this whole thing kind of got me thinking. We have a lot of, like, age groups that kind of listen to this podcast. Like, we have a lot of people that are, like, you know, around our age and a lot of people that are younger. And the whole thing was based on publishers and developers. I want to know, when did you become aware of developers being different than publishers and actually having a name and a game relate to each other? I'm trying to think of a good way to put that. Because I have a specific time in my gaming history where I started paying attention to that kind of stuff and differentiated between a sequel or a sequel made by the same developers that made the game that I loved. So I don't know how to put this in like words that would kind of like...
Well, you know what? What we can do, we can just blow minds right now, Jeff. We can just blow minds out the water.
Totally
guess what? A little inside ball for the people that are listening in. Chris isn't going to be here next week.
No, that's so, right. Forget.
You know what? That only means one thing to me.
Well, we have to run shit, dude.
Running shit episode 2. What up? So say we push that question of the week to a week afterwards.
To when Chris gets back?
Yeah. And then we go to running shit episode 2, and we can just tell people to write in. You tell us, in the video game industry, who's running shit right now?
That's it.
Who
yeah,
is
you know
running
what?
Shit
even if
in
that
the
wasn't
the top,
that's
right
actually... Yeah, okay. Got it. Isn't that kind of this...
Who is running shit? right now. It could be anything. It could be developers. It could be publishers. It could be specific journalists. It could be Jeff Keighley, for all I fucking care.
Could be your mom.
It could be your mom.
Totally
it could be. It could be Gail
totally
Chorney.
Isn't running shit. But whatever.
It could be Gail Chorney.
It could be Gail Chorney. Could be. Oh, she totally runs shit.
All right. To answer the question of the week, please send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. Send us a voicemail as well. Haven't had a voicemail in a while. Come on, guys. What's going on? The number is 706-760-4337.
Like Leap, but it's not.
And remember, you can also just email us an MP3 that you record. That works, too. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
We have a Facebook group that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. We have a Steam group, Interactive Distractions, and we have a Google page that is Interactive Distractions as well. I'm pretty sure that is all I needed to say. You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
Skyrim.
Fucking dragons?
I miss Lydia. Well, I still got her. I'm keeping her safe, Travis. Don't worry, I'm keeping her safe.
I won't let any dragons eat her. All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. If you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate that.
5 stars.
Also, come check out our forums over at retroids.com. Lots of good podcasts over there to also listen to as well within the network. I think there's 18 of them now. I'm not exactly sure.
Who's counting?
And I got to say, we are... I know we got Christmas to deal with and everything like that, but we are just maybe like 4 months removed from MGC and starting to think about whether or not we're going. So just throwing it out there. Get your plans. Yep. Get your plans going.
I hear you.
Cool. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. Talk to you next week.